The following podcast contains naughty language and ridiculous situations. Listener discretion is advised.
While I hope no one is in a position to need an event like what happened last Friday night at the Cove Music Hall, I wish in some way everybody could have something like that. Because I have never felt so loved. It's the type of thing where nobody was obligated to be there. But the Cove Music Hall through your old boy Dynamo, a great benefit the other day. And I'll talk about it a little more with these cats on the other side of the break. But I want to thank the Cove. I want to thank everybody that went. And I don't know. I'm overwhelmed with gratefulness. And I just really appreciate your kindness. And but until then, welcome to Trick or Treat Radio.
Welcome to episode 257 of Trick or Treat Radio. Trick or Treat Radio is a phantasmagorical spin kick straight through the heart of pop culture, navigated by the Deadites. The Deadites are the world's greatest electroshock band. We destroy monsters, we drink booze, we win championship belts, and we also unite for our brother, Dynamo.
It was fucking awesome. I mean, I really don't know what to say. All the bands, Roger LaValle was fucking incredible. He did an amazing set. I mean, the thing about Curtain Society is, like, I legitimately probably don't go too many days without singing or listening to a Curtain Society song.
Right.
They're such a big part of my life. And Roger is such an incredible writer. And every time I would see Curtain Society, like, I mean, I essentially grew up, one of those guys I literally grew up with. We were friends, like, in cribs. But, You know, as soon as those guys start playing, they're not them anymore to me. They're this right. entity. Like, it's just incredible. And I didn't know how it would be with just Roger playing acoustic. And it was fucking amazing. Like, it was just really incredible. And Thinner, those guys are fucking phenomenal. Strangler needs a manicure. Yeah, well, let's go back to Thinner for a second. Thinner, you know, is another band that I've been listening to for many, many years. And I challenge any band full of 18, 19, or 21-year-olds to out-rock Thinner. Like, it's just not going to fucking happen. To look better, to sound better, to rock better. Like, they're just phenomenal. Strangler needs a manicure. You know, those guys fucking brought it. You know, no one is a better at what he does than former Buchenheimer frontman and current Strangler needs a manicure frontman, Clock Pond. And Big Eyed Rabbit, man, with world-famous Big John Short, which I think is even standing next to him now for the first time, I think is very funny because he's he's very short, man.
But, yes.
It was fucking awesome. They were fucking incredible. Like, they were fucking incredible. Everything that, you know, and I know how, and you know, and everybody that's played with them knows how much of a fucking pro Duncan Arsenault is, but that band's fucking great. And, of course, my old running buddies, my children, the Pathetics, tore it up. And everybody that was there, we were making a list kind of the next day of, not counting Psycho Patrick, how many Deadites over the course of the night weren't there.
Were you checking your fucking mic?
Yeah, is this on? I don't think it is.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is
it fucking on?
Yeah. If you'd know.
Do you know how to hook up headphones?
Yeah.
No, there's a little problem with my jack.
No, you gonna jack it off?
Right.
Yeah, I know now you hear me.
Good work. So yeah, we were trying to think, and other than Psycho Patrick.
Skip 13. Mr. Sex was there.
Mr. Sex was there. Bloody Roo obviously wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The Seamstress, Screamstress is out of town.
What about the other female singer that was part of the band for about 2 weeks?
Ooh.
Way back in the day.
She was not there.
Okay.
She lives in a different part of the country now. But there weren't that many. I think we came up with four now. Oh, Oracle, who just, I don't think, leaves her library at all. And watched Oracle, Skip 13, The Screamstress.
But we're talking like 50 Deadites.
Almost. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
yeah, it's like fucking Parliament Funkadelic. I mean,
Ethan McGlufovitz was there, and
Vigilante.
Vigilante was in the house, and Tiny White, of course, was in the house.
Yep.
I say, of course, like he ever leaves the house.
Yeah, right.
That was actually a really big deal.
It was surprising that he left the house.
Yeah, Roundtrip Jones was there. You guys were there.
I didn't see him.
He was there before you came.
Well, shit.
Let's see. Who asked? Grandizer Funk was there. Donna Matrix had a show that she left.
We walked in almost the same time.
Yeah. And she is so fucking beautiful, it is oppressive. Like, I don't even like to look at her anymore. I'm sure I'm forgetting some Deadites, but like, I was overwhelmed. Like, Ethan McGlufovitz. It was funny. There's one part where, newer Deadites were on one side of the room and older Deadites were on that other side of the room. Just being old and cranky and not hanging out with each other. Andy Christ.
Andy Christ, was that Andy Christ was there?
My favorite part was when Vigilante and Tiny White, it just happened. It wasn't anything they do because they both have a very similar personality. Hasn't really talked since Vigilante wasn't in the band anymore. Like, had to make the awkward way across the room and stop and talk to every person along the way because they were, like, all being weird and awkward. And Andy Christ, like, intervened and got him in the same place. So it was great. Silica was there. Multiple Silicas were there. It was fucking awesome.
Aries got a war.
Aries fucking God of War was there. That was even weirder than Tiny White.
Yeah.
He didn't fucking talk to anybody. He just sat in the corner and fucking pouted, but he was there.
I talked to Aries.
Yeah.
He got mad. We should come over on a Sunday. And he got mad that I didn't ask to hang out on like a Tuesday, Thursday, or a Friday.
Right.
And it was like, well, fucking, that's when I'm free.
I'll tell you this. His wife is also aging in reverse, so.
Yeah, it's weird.
I hope that I'm there the day she just fucking leaves that old fog at the altar.
It's a matter of time, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, he just will stop moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just fucking awesome. It was just literally every time I turned around, I remember at one point I was talking to Pete Mastelli from Bad Boy Films, and I looked up, and out of the blue, I don't know where he came from, Derek Rook was there.
Yeah, so
and like it was just fucking amazing. Like, it really, really, really made me feel special. And like I said, I don't want everybody to have that night.
Yeah, it sucks that you had to have it, but the fact that
it really feel like you're not going to be able to sit, at least for a while. You're not going to be able to have any of those moments like nobody fucking loves me. both of our old two out of three of our managers were there.
Dennis was there.
Barry Dennis was there and loaded by the time I got there, completely fucking blasted. And Gabe Rollins was in the house. So
did Jack catch him there?
Nope, didn't see that guy. Nope. Didn't see that guy at all.
Yeah, I think he's avoiding.
Michael Ravenshadow was there.
I think he's avoiding
Ravenshadow. I was there representing. New Hope was flowing, yep. Making new friends.
So Ravenshadow was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I was there.
Yeah.
Dynamo, you were there, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I think my math's a little weird.
Yeah,
strange. Oh shit!
Oh,
we're missing someone tonight too.
Well, he's getting ready to play paintball.
yeah.
It's training.
So I think we're trying to say, Johnny, is that 20 years of friendship. Episode 257 episodes plus mm-hmm. zero in the other ones.
Plus about 50 professional wrestling matches. Right. I may have wrestled him more than
more
the
than
second
anyone,
season of NCW. I probably fought him conservatively every other week.
So the person who we're not talking about wasn't available between, like, let's say 8 o'clock or maybe midnight on a Friday.
Nope. Monday morning, Saturday morning, though, bright and early, there was a message that said we should all go play paintball.
Yeah, it was that day. Yeah. So Mr. I'm Tired and Golden Girls couldn't show up for his friend's cancer benefit.
Nope. Busy.
That's why he's not here.
Totally busy.
Yep.
He's got to get ready for fucking paintball. What does he think?
He is going to fucking pass out and die.
Yeah. So, Monster Zero, the next morning after the benefit, just wake up to a message.
This is 10 a.m., Mike.
Yeah, and says,
10 a.m.
Hey, guys, let's all go play paintball. And
no,
I believe my response was,
joke.
I beg your pardon.
Yep.
And Tiny, who's still in the chat room's response was, that may be the only thing he's ever said that made sense.
until I mentioned who said it, and then he was like, "Yeah, you're right."
Yeah,
I said
Sunday. Off. Sunday, 10:45 a.m. Ugh, dudes, we gotta go paintballing.
Paintballing, yeah.
And Mark says, "I beg your pardon." And then Tiny says, "For once, he's making some sense." What a fucking!
You should have told us earlier. Tiny probably would have come on.
What a shitbag. So he missed Dynamo's benefit.
Right.
There's kind of no excuse. You stop in, even if it's 10 fucking minutes.
There are people who are far away, like, you know, like Pantophobe wasn't around, and like, she, like, literally, like, how do I say this diplomatic? She made her presence known.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, like, it was just, you know.
I was so fucking beat. Like, I know Monster Zero was like, oh, dude, I'm so tired.
Right.
Literally fucking picked myself up off the couch after being exhausted, got in the shower, and fucking went out for 90 minutes, you know?
Sure.
Because there's no way I was going to miss, you know, my buddy's fucking, you know, benefit show.
Think about who you saw, too, you know?
Like, yeah, and I was bummed out that I wasn't there earlier. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things have been hectic at work, but, yeah. And everyone was fucking there. Like,
yep.
Everyone. Like, yeah. I literally walked in the door. There's like 10 people I know immediately, and then I was like, "All right, guys, I'm just gonna make my rounds." And literally, 90 minutes later, I was done. I think
right.
So. It was awesome. And then, but yeah, I mean,
I got a picture of Tiny White smiling.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I did. Oh, what you guys maybe you didn't realize was the tag team of the future between a New Hope and the Red Queen. There was a.
I don't like that tag team.
Oh, I do. I'm pretty cool with that.
I don't like it.
I like it a lot.
No. Unfortunately, much like the Red Queen and my girlfriend,
yes,
she don't like you at all.
Huh.
You're actually not in that equation to her at all.
Red Queen, she was very nice to me and smiled when I said jokes.
Yeah, well,
she does it to everyone.
Yeah,
huh. New Hope likes me.
We do have some people hanging out in the chat room. We have
Patsy Rahal was there with Ashes.
Yep.
We could literally go on for the whole show.
Bobby Chain,
everyone's fucking there.
Yeah, most of the Grand Guignol Network was there.
The villain.
I don't know. I left the fucking. By the way, Unchained.
Bob Dylan was there.
Dylan was there.
Unchained did their big live show the other day.
Yeah,
and I left an awesome message for Paulie, and it didn't get through.
No.
Yeah, I should have just sent it to you because I think Uncle Paulie, if Unchained's not going to happen, and I'll send it. I'll tell you what. I'll send it to this fucking show.
You should do a video game thing.
Yeah, you should do a fucking video game thing. I'm going to send a fucking message to this show. Do it like I do with fucking Outside the Cinema.
I ain't playing it.
Why not?
So we got hanging out Cecil. We got Bosch. We got Julie Meow Meows. We got Creepy Girl. We got Chromecast Josh. What?
That Julie Meow Meow?
Yeah.
She knows where it's at. Slasher movie was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And comic book wise, right?
Yeah.
Dynamo is getting a little uncomfortable over here, I think.
I'm not. Who's next, John?
Creepy Girl says, "Oh my god, you made them watch Patchwork? I'm just seeing this is the movie."
No.
And so Josh says,
Creepy Girl just confirmed I'm not going to take any more of her recommendations.
Creepy Girl, Josh says, "So Void Patchwork? Creepy Girl, I've never seen it." And Creepy Girl says, "Yes, not what it advertises." Anxious to hear what Dynamo has to say.
What does it advertise?
I don't know.
Looks like parts of a person in a trash can to me. it's not a very good movie, Creepy Girl.
It's a metaphor.
I feel like I got more than was advertised. It's an important trash can.
So we are missing MZ as well tonight.
I wouldn't say we're missing him, Johnny.
Well, he's not here. He's not here. He's not going to be here. He's moving. I guess I can give him a fucking, you know, I could give him a break for having to move.
Well, Johnny, sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Let me tell you something about a thing.
Okay.
All right. A, he doesn't have a giant, like, you know, he does very well. It's a nice little house, but he doesn't have a giant, like, a mansion. And he sold half his shit already. They're sitting on cardboard boxes.
It's not like fucking Billy Madison is moving, like.
Yeah.
Like, the giant.
I guess we're going to move Wayne Manor.
Right.
You know, we're
literally just going to get that penny.
When was the last time you moved, Raven Shadow? Just ask him.
before I moved into the Chatelaine Estates. It would have been
the Raven Chateau.
Raven Chateau, yeah, about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah,
but you know, I got tactical.
And it took you way longer than you thought.
No, I got tactical. I had my cousins. I had pickup trucks. I had a coordinated effort, and we all did it. In fact,
I lived on Dewey Street, an apartment not that bigger, and you can get them on the phone. Right, but Grandizer Funk, the Vigilante, and I moved out of that thing in 20 minutes one afternoon.
Well, you, I think you had to at that point.
What? Yeah. It was either that or it was going to get burned.
We still did. Coming. I only lost one thing. I lost one thing of CDs. I lost my pretty much half of my Zappa collection. And I lost my teddy bear, which I'll never be, I'll never forgive myself for.
Julie Meow Meow says Slashers for Life. Would that be for life? Is that how you do it?
Four slice.
Four slice?
Mm. Don't do that.
I won't do that again. Not good.
Mm-mm. It's nice just to have me and you.
I know. It's exciting. Like it.
Why don't you guys get closer?
Yeah, we might.
Hold each other's hands.
Yeah, wrong noun.
Hold each other's what?
Don't worry about it. Just fucking turn the wheels of steel there, John. Keep turning the
nouns. It's heavy turning these wheels of steel.
It's heavy using these nouns.
Speaking of touching pots.
Thank you.
When this drops, me, Johnny, Coop, and Jakey Poo will be reenacting the Human Centipede in Long Beach.
That's true.
Johnny, foam the head.
I think that's probably the best place.
Yeah, fair.
All things said, you know.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta be first.
I definitely don't want to be in the middle.
Why?
You want to be in the middle of a Human Centipede?
Well, to be fair, it's better to be in the middle than the end. You don't want to be the centipede caboose.
Right.
Because then you can't, like, at least, you know, have some kind of cathartic.
Right.
You know, like, at least if you knew, like, all right, well, this sucks. But, you know, Coop's having a bad day behind me.
Well, Coop's vegan, so.
Yeah, worst day.
Yeah, so it's going to be awesome. Me and Mars Man, as of the recording this on Wednesday night, we are, tomorrow, we're going to be flying out to Long Beach. So,
is it a real plane or like a Buddy Holly plane?
Thanks for everybody who made that
Jesus,
possible.
Thank you.
Way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
No, I heard it's going to rain.
It's not going to rain.
No, I gave you a gift. I gave you a very emotionality.
Yeah.
Driven.
Why don't you tell people about that? Right. I don't even know what it is.
All right. Listen. Here's the thing. I gave something when I went to Italy with Smoke and Tie Sam and, many years ago. My mom gave me a thing. She gave me a dollar. And it's a good travel omen. Right, she does it in her office, and I've been paying it forward every time. So basically, you give somebody you care about, a dollar, and you when they get to their final destination, they have to give it to somebody.
I really wish you wouldn't use that.
What?
Based on like the film series? Yeah, like
you find a location. When you get
that's
home.
That's the asylum version.
Yeah, when you get to the last place you want to get to. End of the dance.
When I'm dead?
Well, listen. You know what? Give a dollar back. Give it back. I'm gonna give you a quarter. You can wing it.
Give me a dollar. Oh, give me 50 cents.
Give it. Take it back. It's not what I meant.
Burn it.
But no, it's a touching gesture. So my mom gave it to me. So every time
you're touching who?
Yeah,
touching jester.
Somebody touch me. I just want to get touched.
It's not episode 250.
Yeah,
anymore.
Touching Jared. That's what I want to do. But no, I gave you a nice thing. I marked it. So you give it to a bum or something when you get home.
Do bums hang out at the airport?
You don't even fucking know, dude.
Really?
I know some bums get their clothes at the airport. But no, like...
they steal out of people's luggage?
Yeah. But no, there's no bums around airports.
They're not bums.
I don't know when the last time you were at Logan Airport, but that place is like Fort Knox now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, listen. If someone asks for your seat, let them have it.
Creepy Girl says, I meant the trailer is not what it advertises. The trailer made it look like it would be good.
Well,
I think every trailer wants to look good, right?
I mean, the Spider-Man 3 trailer was fucking dope as fuck, right?
Uh-uh. Dope AF?
Yeah, the trailer was.
I don't remember it, but.
Movie? No.
Tell you what's dope as fuck.
Dope
Drive.
Dope as fuck.
Dope as fuck.
The television program Blood Drive.
Is that good?
Well, first episode was pretty okay, right? Enough that I was watched the second episode. And I thought the second episode was awesome.
It's on Sci-Fi, right?
Right. Like lots of fucking on that show.
Yeah, but not real fucking. Sci-Fi fucking.
I don't know if you saw Mars, but I'm actually I'm downloading it right now on my iPad so I can watch it on the plane.
Nice. Yeah, people are like, you know, like they're complaining about what it's advertised to be. They're like, oh, it's like an old dumb movie.
Huh. Well, it's not supposed to be.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like a Rodriguez.
Yeah, people are basically like, this isn't a horror show. People aren't just fucking standing around and talking.
There's no Daryl.
Yeah. This
where's Daryl?
Where's Daryl? I'll tell you this. Everybody's fucking Daryl.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But they go for the easy, you know, the easy stuff on it, you know?
Yeah.
They have the big giant guy come flying out at one point, and, like, there are a group of, like, cannibals fighting the drivers. Mm-hmm. It's like a violent version of, like, the Wacky Races.
Okay.
The old Hanna-Barbera thing. And he comes out, and he looks like Ares, and everybody's afraid of him. He's one of the racers, and he goes, wait! And everybody stops fighting. And he goes, who's cursed that? And, like, a cannibal, like, holds up a hand, but he's holding somebody else's hand, right?
Yeah.
And he, like, goes, and they push past him. He opens the door, and there's, like, a little chihuahua in there that, like, jumps into his arms. He goes, who left this dog in there without a window cracked? And the guy's, like, raises his hand again. He just starts smashing cannibals. Like, there's a lot of diversified sex in Blood Drive, too.
Yeah.
A lot of old man on old man action.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like it.
Ravenshaw likes that.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, the grumpy old men ain't so grumpy anymore.
No,
getting some action.
Yeah, it's good. In the
creepy girl likes, she likes Blood Drive. Says badass.
There you go.
Yeah, it is badass.
Julie Meow Meow says new Child's Play movie trailer coming out really soon. Cult of Chucky, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard it's called Cult of Chucky. I know that this is unpopular, and I would have got fucking drawn and quartered on my old program if I had said it, but. I don't think Chucky's scary.
No, dude, listen, I'm not scary. I'm like a buck fucking 35 soaking wet holding a Yugo. I would kick the fuck out of that Muppet.
Right.
I'd punt that Muppet.
I would. Just one step back, yeah. one step forward.
I'll fight rabid grannies, and I'll fight
rabid grannies.
Yeah, I'll fight
rabid grannies are tough.
Yeah, I'll fucking juke and jive. I'll hit him with a fucking frying pan, and I'll fuck that Muppet up.
All right, hold on a second.
Yep.
In the chat,
yep.
I want you to give me a virtual show of hands, I'll check on the answer later of who has Amazon Prime. And whoever has Amazon Prime, you all have to find and watch Kung Fu from Beyond the Grave. Because I wouldn't necessarily say it's like good in a traditional sense,
yep.
But that shit's crazy. That's some of the craziest shit I've ever seen, and that's saying something.
It is.
There's a fight where the bad guy at one point summons Dracula. Nice. Just in the middle of the fucking movie.
Sold.
Yeah, he's like, Dracula, come save me. And Dracula flies out of the sky. Starts having like a kung fu fight.
Treat.
Treat.
And the guy like builds a posse of ghosts, the good guy. So all these ghosts come in a kung fu fight him.
Are they like Pac-Man ghosts or like...
They look like zombies. They're all fucking weird.
Like Aragorn's ghost army.
No, not that cool. No. They're like more like fucking mashed potatoes on the face. They look like they have chicken croquettes on their face.
Ooh.
So totally fucking crazy good. And I also watched the film Knockabout with Yan Biao and Sammo Hung, and that's awesome too.
Sounds like an Australian film. On the Knockabout?
Yeah. I'm on Knockabout. You know, don't the fucking Australian people have enough to worry about without you making fun of them?
Yeah, real nice, Johnny. Why don't you fucking low-hanging fruit there?
Yeah, fucking...
Vegan.
Dane could leave his house, kick a fucking flower, and get killed.
Yeah, fucking Drive Jacket Mark wakes up in warehouses with like bird cages and fucking urinals.
I think the movie we watched today is only like a day or so away from happening at Drive Jacket Mark.
I think, what do you think, Raven Shadow? I'm going to sync some preacher here.
You're going to sync some preacher?
Sync. Sync it to my device.
Ooh, sync it to me, baby. Yeah, no, I guess it's fine. I haven't watched the program. I haven't watched the premiere yet. It's on my DVR. We didn't get home. I didn't get home till like fucking 10 o'clock, 10:30 after the
convention. 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Is your favorite clock?
It is my favorite. 10 o'clock. That's nice. So it's on my DVR. I had to watch this last night. I wish I fucking watched Preacher, but no. We'll find out what happens. We went to a convention, Johnny. Went to a convention.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did. So we worked at separate booths, but I was hanging out with Michael Neal all weekend, and we had a good time. And he gave away a lot of free comic books, and a lot of people excited about the drive-in horror show stuff, which is very cool.
Yep.
So I got to hang out with him. It was a lot of fun. How about you, Raven Shadow? What happened on your end?
I got to hang out with the fine folks from That's Entertainment. We had a little booth. I was signing autographs.
Did you sign? Yeah, you did.
I did. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Worked 2 days. It was nice. I think Sunday was a little bit busier.
That's crazy. Huh? I heard that.
It was really weird. But I'll tell you this right now, and I was talking to Johnny, and not to be Randy Pan.
Who's Johnny? He's over there. He turns the wheels. He's over there.
He's the dude that is here. And no, not to be Randy Pan the goat boy, but like I was telling Johnny, the fucking kittens were out on those days. The cosplay community was in force.
Randy Pan the goat boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah. Just put your hand out. No, it was nice. It was nice. And even it was a very, very developed Jason Momoa, Aquaman. But I feel that John Stewart Green Lantern and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man should have wore pants because there were kids around.
Yeah. There was a Spider-Man who had a very tight costume on, and it was very close to being obscene.
Yeah. Nice Scarlet Witch. I have a Scarlet Witch fetish. She was running amok.
I'm upset I missed Spider-Cock.
Yeah, it was huge, dude.
My web fluid, yeah. She would say.
Spider-Brajol.
Spider-Brajol.
It was a Tila.
Really?
Yeah, who does Tila?
I'd do Tila. Man-at-Arms would be... I'd be Command Tila. I would be your Man-at-Arms. Yeah.
I was very conflicted because there was Erica Draven. It was a sexy crow.
Yeah.
I am a man who will fight for your honor. That's all.
That's good. Yeah. I got to talk to Alex Saviak, who did Web of Spider-Man for 100 years.
Yeah, he did.
Very nice dude. Very nice dude. And Ken Rocafort, who did Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
The only book of the New 52 I enjoyed.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. Great art.
I know Johnny got to speak to MC 900 Foot Ronsky.
I did, yeah. I saw Ronsky for a few. Who else did I see? There were some good people. I saw some old friends that I don't know if you guys know, but there was a pretty good amount of folks there. It wasn't a bad con. I've certainly seen worse, and I've certainly seen better.
Yes,
but
Springfield.
was my favorite Jenny there?
Yes.
Yes, I briefly saw her.
We were walking out. She was walking in. I think she was going to the after party.
Oh, I also saw the boys from The Dorkening.
Yeah,
nice. Kevin and Leo.
I love Kevin Crook so much. That is one of the funniest motherfuckers I know, and I know
a
lot
he's
a funny
dude, yeah. So, no, it was a good time, and it was fun hanging out with Michael Neal, seeing Raven Shadow every, you know, like 2 hours on his bathroom break.
And smoke break.
Yes.
Very nice. Popped over. It was nice. Thank you. Oh. Michael Neal gave me a nice copy of his record. I appreciate that. That was very nice. Too. How nice is that?
He's the nicest dude ever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The only one in that family that might be nicer than him is his kid. His kid's the coolest kid ever.
Yeah.
And his wife, who's a fox. But, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, that dude should be in the Deadites because...
Yeah.
Not punching his weight. But, yeah. Speaking of, I'd like to thank... I know Raven Shadow's going to want to, but we're not going to go into this. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to thank Doug Chappell for giving me some incredible Deadites postcards.
Postcards?
Yeah.
Are they old ones?
No, they're new. He made them.
Oh. Where are they?
They're at my home.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's who they are. There was a lot of confusion on Friday where they were.
I knew where they were.
And I talked to somebody else, so I had that conversation from other ways. I'm fucking postcards. I'm over the edge. With those fucking postcards.
Wow.
Your postcards put me over the edge, I'll tell you that.
From
much.
The over the edge.
Yeah. Out of my fucking mind. I'm going to a fucking meeting and I got fucking postcard text messages. I'll get the fucking postcards. Didn't get the fucking postcards. They're very nice postcards. Good job.
They are amazing. But you're the only one I talked to about it, other than I sent one text to somebody else. No, two texts. I asked a question, didn't hear anything. And said, you know what? I'll send Raven Shadow. Yep. And then the other person said, I'll be there at 9:30. I was like, I'm just going to leave it there.
Well, what got me my goat was I don't think one person is going to the club, but another person is going to drop them off. And I was like, well, one person might be busy, but contact so-and-so. And you're like, I did contact so-and-so, and he said what you said. And I said, well, so I don't have to go. Well, I'm not sure. But you talked to the dude that was doing the driving.
No, he wasn't doing the driving. No, see, that's where the confusion was.
He's got a car, though.
Well, he said just that she was bringing them, right?
Yep.
And I said, well, I don't know. She's pretty busy. So that's why I asked you. And then you said, ask her. And I said, no, ask him. And I said, he said it too. But yeah, the only one I haven't talked to is her, who's busy. But here's the thing. Let's get down to brass tacks, right? Raven Shadow works at point A. His house is at point B. No, wait. The store is at point B. His special lady friend in New Hope lives at point Z.
Yep. C or Z?
Z. C. And his house is at point D. Okay? What do all those things have in common, Johnny?
They're all letters.
And they're all in order, right? So which means to leave point A, to get to point D, he has to go by point B. And if he goes back to get a special lady friend, he probably has to go by point B at least one other time.
Well, yeah, well, that's kind of good, but I have to go leave my 9 to 5, right, and then go to point E, which is my house, take out all
no,
of
no, that's
my
point God. D.
Oh. So I leave A. So I can go to point B
right
from the jump.
Yep.
Get out of work early, by the way.
Yep.
Or I go get Ollie. After Ollie, then go to my parents' house, which I think is point 4. Right, I'm not sure I lost the letters. Yeah, so yeah. Point G.
Four, not a letter.
Yeah. Point ampersand. Okay. And then leave point ampersand to go and get a said cardboard cards, postcards, and then get the New Hope, and then go and...
But if you do have to go back and get the New Hope, they're right next to each other, too.
No, it was good, but the only ink when the ointment would have had to go to...
What? Did you say oink in the ointment?
I said the ink in the ointment. That doesn't make any sense.
No, the ink in the ointment. You don't want that.
It was a cluster, so now... Anyway.
It's only a cluster because it's just like when we go to movies together. You stress me out.
I get movie anxiety. I want us to all sit together.
Hey, if
Josh says this cartography is confusing.
So it was... I'll tell you this. I'll tell you one thing. From point B, where the store is, and point C, where New Hope lives, is less than 25 km. I know that for sure. That's maybe 15 km, but maybe probably 25. But they were awesome postcards.
They're great. Yeah. I mean, he's missing a couple of things on it, but no, they're very nice.
Yeah, he was upset. He's giving the guy, guy draws nice postcards for us, right, with Deadites Prime on it, by the way, right, without knowing. Right? And he's giving him a hard time because they don't have Michael Raven Shadow on him.
It's true. And I had a conversation, too. I'm like, next time, draw just one and just have me on it under the Deadites logo. I'm like, Dynamo will flip his mind.
It won't be me you'll have to worry about.
No.
Then again, I realize this. Like, your whole plan has probably been all along to get beat up by Donna Matrix. I've been doing it wrong. Yeah, but...
I've been a bad shadow.
Murph was saw the pictures from the event. Was talking about all the beautiful women was there. That's true.
It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. There's the dudes in that room should not be around ladies of that.
No,
status.
Beautiful lovelies love me. The remind me to talk about this in real life. But I think I don't think they saw each other. But I can't imagine that one of my oldest and dearest friends doesn't know a New Hope.
Which one's that?
She lived with someone that A New Hope had some relations with at some point. Not illicit.
Wait,
relations.
Wait, slow it down. Let me fucking.
Yeah, not illicit relations.
Well, she knew Clark.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everybody knows Clark.
Yeah.
Clark is the tough, handsome version of me. Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I get some nice postcards. I'll bring the Rock and Shock. But now we can get right into fucking Rock and Shock.
Yeah, now we can. Rock and Schlock.
See, so, we're jerks.
We'll have some more information about Rock and Schlock because it is now, that's our focus as far as promoting a show, something. So we are going to be going all out, making sure that
Lock and Schlock.
We roll out the red carpet for everyone. Everyone that wants to attend has an opportunity to do so and has all the information they need. And it should be a really fucking amazing time. So... looking forward to it. Maybe, hey, Dynamo, maybe on the flight, maybe you and I can, you know, talk some shop about it.
Yep.
Or do the Mile High Club.
Whatever.
Why don't you go live? That'd be outrageous. That's premium
content. I think the Mile High Club is, like, fiction on par with Bigfoot.
That could be fair.
Have you ever been in a plane bathroom?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. I can barely close. I'm not Andre the Giant, folks. But I can barely, like, my knees are touching the fucking door.
Right.
Like, and, there's no humping going
and
on.
And it's, like, all spattered with, like, fucking bile and fluids and stuff. Like, I don't want to have my ass next to some fucking...
What airplane are you on?
Fucking garbage airlines.
Yeah, did fucking Dan Aykroyd get you on a plane and fly you out of the Himalayas?
But no, but it's just a long flight. Listen, that flight to Italy, the fucking first 5 hours was great. Then the rest got kind of fucking tedious.
Bosch says, haha, no Dynamo, Mile High Club is real.
Wow.
Wow, Bosch knows.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Bosch.
Yeah. If you say so.
I'll have to take a flight with Bosch. I know he'll put out.
Julie Meow Meow says, love in a stanky-ass loud bathroom.
Ooh. That's a new sitcom.
Yeah.
Love in a stinky-ass loud bathroom. Hey, I want to just coming up this Thursday is, I believe, Throwdown Thursday's 1 year anniversary. Is that right?
That is right.
Yeah, congratulations, Throwdown Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, so it's technically, if you're listening to this right now live, it is tomorrow. It'll be out at midnight. So
you guys are all very, very awesome.
Yes.
And two of you are very, very beautiful. Yes.
You have to specify, or else Patsy's going to think you're talking about
him. Right, he's not
gonna,
Patsy.
He's going to like be like, sorry, Ashes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dynamo said I was cute.
So,
no, his voice is getting better.
No, that dude was sick for a while, huh?
Ashes, I'm not sure Dynamo said I was cute.
You know Patty Rahal is sick when he misses an opportunity to talk.
Yeah. Fair, fair.
So, those are the four best shows that Ashes and Agent Nicole ever had.
Yeah. I'm glad you're feeling better, Patsy.
Dynamo Bosch says, anytime.
Good.
Oh.
Not my first pick in the chat room, but... Not my last.
Are we going to have a draft?
Not my last. No, it's worth.
A Mile High Club draft.
Ooh. The random flight generator.
Who do you got? Who do you got first on the draft? Then Mars. Who's first on your draft board?
Let me look. I'm gonna go with
Evil Corny.
I can't have sex with him. That would be that breaks some political. Oh shit! You know what? Evil Corny. Two things. I sent you a message that said send me your address, and then figured you didn't want to send it to me, but I realized I did my finishing move when I went back to my computer.
You always do your finishing move.
Can you? Because I don't think people that don't know it. Can you explain to the world what my finishing move is?
Mars's finishing move is he writes a very thoughtful, detailed text and forgets to hit send.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then hours later when he goes, he's like, oh, I haven't heard from that person. He'll go to look, and there it is, waiting to be sent.
And furthermore, happy birthday, Corny. Oh,
yeah, buddy. Happy birthday. Yeah, Corny's birthday last week. Yeah. Well, what are you doing? Oh.
I was going to fucking
okay.
Promote
it. Oh, you know what?
That's do your job.
That's good thinking, Raven
Thank
Shadow.
Thank you.
That's good thinking.
See?
So,
just a pimp of promotion.
We did have our boy Freddie from Mixtape Massacre on last week, and I am happy to report they have met their goal. So, Mixtape Massacre, the Black Mask expansion is funded. It's funded, they hit their goal, and they've also hit two stretch goals already. Ooh. So they are at $12,761, and they got 23 days to go. So there's a little over 3 weeks, and if you guys want to win a copy of Mixtape Massacre, this very copy, if you're watching the live show, we're showing it on the feed, you want to win this, all sealed, look.
It's fucking nice.
See? This is this could be yours. All you got to do is go to their Kickstarter and give them at least $5.
Can I win?
Maybe, because we haven't had many entries yet.
So, wait, is that the... Like, I'm pissed because we have the best fucking prizes.
Yeah.
Right?
No, what I did, well, no. People do enter.
People enter, but I want to win, and for some dumb, like, reason. No good reason. Is my money no good?
No.
Your money's good.
Yeah, well, I want to win the contest.
So, Mixtape Massacre, all you got to do...
Think about how much shipping money you'd save if I won the raffle.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing alone is going to cost, like, $20 a ship, probably. It's pretty heavy. But, yeah, if you guys want to win Mixtape Massacre, all you got to do is go and give at least $5 to their Kickstarter.
Yeah, seriously.
If you go to mixtapemassacre.com, there's a link right to the Kickstarter there. Just give them at least $5. If you want just to enter the contest, give them $5 and let us know. You just need to show us proof. So,
Mixtape Madagascar.
A screenshot of your pledge. We'll do it. Send that to podcast@trickortreatradio.com, and then you'll be entered. So we haven't had many entries yet, so you guys could win a $60 fucking awesome board game.
Yeah, so the odds are in your favor.
Yes. So if you guys want to get in on that, please do, and give them some cash bucks, and you could win an awesome game.
So, Cornelia, send me your address. I know I didn't send it. I know him.
And dick pics.
And dick pics. No.
And congrats to Freddie and everyone else at Mech State Massacre for hitting their goal. That's awesome. All right. Well, we should probably jump into things because I think tonight's going to be a little bit low-key. Dynamo and I are flying out tomorrow.
Chris Candido, you need to keep your one.
I still have to pack and do a bunch of other stuff. So I think we're going to try to keep it as succinct as possible. I know that's sometimes hard. But we're going to keep it as
I am so fucking organized and packed.
You should be tired.
No. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
We're getting on a fucking airplane tomorrow.
Yeah.
That dude's just literally moving across town. He's moving closer to where he's from.
He literally is moving 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
It's like a smoke away by car.
The Raven Shadow's measurement of time, it's one smoke away.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah, that's like from starting it and you're driving.
Well, who's smoking? Are you smoking or is like...
How many smokes from point A to point B? That's what I want to know. That's probably one.
Oh, yeah, one. Yeah, one. Yeah, it's one.
Just to put it out there. So it's 25 KMs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't count that in the walk to from car to door.
So let me catch up in the chat room, and then we're going to head to a break in just a moment. Julie Meow Meow says, oh, no, like getting picked in sports. the draft.
Bad? Is that bad getting picked in sports?
No, you're getting picked last.
Corny says, you didn't send me nothing.
I know. That's what I said.
Okay. Cecil says, happy birthday, president, soon to be elect or vice. I can't remember exactly. 2020.
Yeah, we never worked that out, did we?
Cecil says, that game sure looks like a nice birthday gift to me. Do the right thing, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Meow Meow says, I hardcore want that game. And Cecil says, don't do it. Mixtape Massacre isn't on the airplane draft.
I'm not above bribing.
Bosch says, Raven Shadow is a power smoker. 5 minutes regular time is at least 2.6.
Oh, yeah. I'm like that guy fucking Phelps.
That guy fucking Phelps.
Yeah. The one that everyone liked and smoked dope, and then he kind of pissed people off. I'm like an Olympic.
Oh, Julie's asking if Monster Zero has to dig up bodies in the backyard.
Oh, that's fucking probably what it is.
You know, Monster Zero is not a killer.
No,
he's not a killer.
He's a dummy.
Yeah.
Definitely not a lady killer.
Like, if Monster Zero killed somebody, it would be like Weekend at Bernie's. He'd just put him in a lawn chair.
He's fine.
Monster Zero has never dug a hole in his whole entire life.
It's true. Well, a comedy hole.
No, a relationship hole.
Yeah.
Look, hey, I shaved my head by myself today. I feel like you look good. I feel like I did a good job, but it's awful shiny on camera.
That's nice.
By the way, where I'm sitting right now is for Creepy Girl, because she always tells me to be on camera, so I hope she regrets it.
You look good tonight. You're a beacon in the darkness.
Cecil called you Raven Phelps.
Thank you, yes.
And Bosch says, Raven Shadow can smoke underwater. He's that good.
That's true, and not get wet.
Like Houdini?
Not get wet.
I need one of those caps so I don't want my hair to get wet.
Like yeah, but you don't need your hair doesn't need to get ruined.
Yeah.
All right, we need to get ready to head to a break here. So if you guys want to support the show, head to trickortreatradio.com, click on any of the links on the page on the right, and most of those will help us out. So there's Horror Pack. We have Amazon. If you guys do shopping on Amazon, just go ahead, click our link. Everything you purchase in that session gets attributed to us. Doesn't cost them any extra, Raven Shadow.
But it helps keep the lights on.
That's right. So if you guys want to help keep the lights on, go ahead and use the Amazon link. And then we also have our friends over at XSplit. And they provide the live streaming service you see every Wednesday night.
Horror Pack.
And think that's... Oh, and the Dofer Dynamo is still available. There's a
and
link.
It's still fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's not any less awesome now. It's on the front page of trick-or-treat-radio.com and the featured releases if you guys want to purchase that. It's at least $7.
Can I speak on this in public for 1 minute?
Yes.
If you like punk rock, your new favorite punk rock song is on there.
Yes.
If you like kind of more, you know, like more... Not quite ambient, but...
Don't die, please.
Buy those comps, folks. If you like more like ambient electronic music, your new favorite thing like that. If you like fucking incredible heavy industrial music, your new favorite song is on there. If you like foxy women singing very sexily over electronic beats, that's on there.
Sexily.
That's on there three times.
Yeah.
I think, and I can say this with a clear conscience because I'm not on it, I think The Attic is worth your $7. So.
Yeah.
you know, just everything else. Well, actually, The Attic and Dynamo by MK.
Yes. So, if you guys want to get that, once again...
That's who it was.
Go what?
That was the Deadites that I couldn't... The Deadite I couldn't remember who wasn't
O'Mara.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Go to doferdynamo.com or doferdynamo.bandcamp.com. Either one will get you there. And... It's a donation of at least $7, gets you 19 awesome tracks. If you guys want to give more, please be our guest. All proceeds go to Dynamo to help him pay for his growing medical expenses in his fight with cancer. So we'd appreciate it if you guys want to help out. And I think that's going to do it, Raven Shadow. We haven't introduced everyone. It doesn't fucking matter. They know who
we are.
But what if it's their first episode? Every episode is someone's first episode.
What's your name?
My name?
Yeah.
My name is Michael Raven Shadow from the Trick or Treat Radio podcast.
He's doing his bumper.
Yeah. This is Michael Raven Shadow.
Yeah.
All right, well, I look like I lost some weight. Is that true?
You look good, yeah.
Good. Go cancer.
Yeah, you being sick is working really well for you.
That's good. And being too poor to eat.
Yeah. Looks good on you, though.
Right.
Hey, you look good. You look svelte, dude. When did you get out?
Jesus Christ. All right, we need to head to break. Raven Shadow.
Yes.
My name's Dynamo.
Yeah.
He's Dynamo.
Yeah, I'm Michael Raven Shadow. That's Dynamo Maz. And this is the other one.
What's the other one's name?
Johnny Wolfenstein.
Jake.
The pencil producer.
You are terrible.
You're the pencil pusher, producer of all.
Pencil
mayhem.
Producer.
Yeah. That's why you should do it. You're really good at it, Johnny. Let's take it from the top.
You really want this fucking intro.
I think people want... I think Nick wants
No. You want it. That's it.
No, me and Nick and
I am Johnny Wolfenstein, the pencil pusher and producer of media for Trick or Treat Radio, the Deadites, and the Grand Guignol Network. We also have the immortal gunslinger and singer, lyricist for the Deadites, Dynamo Mars.
I would rather be known from this point on as the producer.
The producer. We also have the chain-smoking, hand-kissing, baby-shaking, Lorazepam loving, comic-reading nerd, the official smoke chamber for Castle Wolfenstein, and the pimp of promotions, Michael Ravenshadow.
Thank you, Johnny, and I'm the one that want to push the mixtape massacre. Thank you.
You want producer?
Yeah.
You're the one that wants to be with you?
Yeah.
All right, well, Ravenshadow.
Yes.
What do you do to prepare when you sit down to watch Patchwork?
I'm fucking tired, Johnny. You know what I mean? I was doing things. I was moving things. I moved from one room to the other. I watched some mod reruns.
That's good. That's where my mod Nage a Trois comes from.
Yeah. The Dear John. The Dear John, the Judd Hirsch joint. Remember that back in the day?
Is your TV broken? Are you only getting VHS stations from the 80s?
I have one channel, and it's old. No, I do all those things. You know what I do? I go out and see my partner for his cancer benefit and support the Bonanza Extravaganza. I work a convention all weekend with Johnny Wolfenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I find the time to go to work, watch a movie, and come here to record with my friends.
Because
we're professionals, and we strap on.
Electroshock band, the Deadites. Hey, you matzo heads. This is Larry Fine, and you're listening to Trick or Treat Radio.
What's up, y'all? It's me, the Yeti. Telling all the ladies that they couldn't be more fine and that we should knock those boots like Frankenstein. When I want to get my nerd on, I go to Facebook and I go to the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group. That's the place where I get to talk about all the hip new horror movies, all the cool comics.
What comics?
RPGs, video games, you name it. We're talking about shit on there. And you could not be any cooler if you were the coolest kid in school. Be the first kid on your block to swing that cock over at the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group. Just go to Facebook, search for Trick or Treat Radio, ask to join, and it's like Nerd Nirvana, baby, without the shotgun blast. This is the Yeti, signing out. See you at the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group.
Follow us on Twitter at the Deadites, thedeadites.com, and trickortreatradio.com.
I'm Mike Allred. For the gitchiest listening experience, you got to check out Trick or Treat Radio.
And we have returned on Trick or Treat Radio.
Some of us.
Some of us, yeah. Two of us. And
Raven Shadow just realized he had to move.
All right, and we're going to talk about this week's film. It is Patchwork from, it looks like it had some festival release in 2015. But it very recently hit VOD at the beginning of June, I believe. And so if you guys want to check us out, it is available on VOD. And the film is directed by Tyler McIntyre and written by Chris Lee Hill and Tyler McIntyre. And it stars Tori Stolper, Tracy Faraway, Maria Blasucci, James Phelps, and a handful of other folks. Those are the main dudes right there. So
is that the Phelps Raven Shadow's talking about?
Yeah, Raven Phelps, yeah. The synopsis, a bombastic throwback horror comedy that follows three young women who go out partying one night and find themselves Frankenstein together in one body. Now they must put aside their differences so they can find who did this and exact revenge. So to me, I mean, that synopsis works fairly well, right? Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I fucking think so.
Yeah. So I didn't take too many notes for this one. Let me first start off by saying this is a very busy week, and I had to squeeze this in like three viewings. So I apologize if I wasn't able to watch it all in one sitting. It's not ideal. I prefer to watch it all in one, but with everything going on with our pending trip and everything went on this past weekend, it just wasn't doable. So hopefully that doesn't affect my review too much. But just wanted to kind of get that out in the open, make sure that was known. All right, where?
Why am I?
Are you dying, Dynamo? Don't you can't die before we go to California.
I would prefer not to ever die. I don't want to die before I go to Target.
I do have to say, so the movie starts out. I immediately give bonus points because there's a theremin being featured in the score, yeah, at the very beginning.
One reason I'd like Monster Zero here is to just talk about how much the...
Well, this movie is, like, geared towards him.
First, like, 5 minutes of this is, like, pretty much lifted from, is pretty much lifted from, reanimate it. I'm dying. Okay. Don't you, any of you care that I'm dying?
Yes.
Dead deaths. Thank you. I know you care.
Well, you're my travel buddy.
You care too, I guess.
This sucks. I want to go.
Get a ticket.
Can I do it for a Kickstarter?
We're leaving in less than 24 hours.
So, guys, in the chat room, donate now. No, you don't have to.
No, don't donate.
Do not donate.
I'd rather they, I need my deck raised.
He'd spray for ticks.
Yeah, fucking guys. I got fucking anxiety, Johnny. I don't even watch fucking, it's scary.
All right, well, we're talking about the movie, Rage. I know there's some scary stuff in the world.
Yeah, fucking zombie chicks. No, fuck that. Ain't going to be in my fucking dog. Ain't no zombie chicks on my dog I'm worried about.
Zombie chicks or ticks?
Oh, zombie ticks would suck. Zombie tick chicks.
All right, so with this flick, so it's definitely in the vein.
I already have a massive migraine.
It's in the vein of Frankenhooker, Reanimator. Like, there's definitely takes a lot of influences from those, and clearly at the end in the credits it says, you know, they basically give a shout out to Stuart Gordon, which you know, which is a pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's some nice little nods, like they put the stuff in the microwave at the beginning. It's not quite like Mountain Dew looking like it is in Reanimator, but right. It definitely was kind of a nod to that, you know.
Sure. In the opening credit sequence, like I said, if you go back and watch the opening credit sequence for Reanimator, it's pretty blow for blow.
Yep. So and if you're gonna, you know, kind of ape a film, that's certainly not a bad one to ape. It's one of the great horror films of you know, of the 80s, I would say.
I agree.
So I will say that this is a non-linear style of storytelling. It is kind of linear, I guess, in a way. Like this, I mean, it's not like we're not talking Pulp Fiction here, you know. But the story unfolds in sort of these different vignettes, I guess you could call them.
Right, chapters.
Yes, in different chapters, and I'm not crazy about it. Like, I think it's a good conceit when there's a big payoff for it. I know, yes. We've talked about this a little bit with some Korean films. But I just didn't, I don't know, like I just didn't feel it was necessary in this. I think you could have told the story in a more linear fashion. That's just...
Oh.
What?
I forgot. Well, this is important later.
We're watching it in studio, yeah. By the way.
I think I might have been doing something else when this was going on. But yeah, okay. That makes sense to me. Wizmoss is zero.
Marge just gave me this fucking look.
That was really fucking real, dude. That was some real exasperation. That was real life exasperation.
So here's the scene here. The microwave goes off and he pulls out a you know, a glowing vial of liquid. And so obviously there's kind of a mad scientist thing going on here. And you know, if you look at the poster or even read the synopsis, it's pretty clear that that there's this sort of mad scientist who is creating this Frankenwoman. It's basically three women all put together.
Ooh.
And so in a way, I understand why they took this path in telling the story in a nonlinear fashion, because we have these three intersecting stories of the different women. And sort of how they got to be in this position when they were abducted, I guess, and you know, and put under the knife.
Yeah, but that's the storytelling trope or the conceit, right?
Like, yeah. I
mean, you can skip around. You can. That's all the information we needed, because there's a mystery, right? There's a mystery there. So we just need enough to know where the main characters are, so we can all take the journey together.
Yeah. So. You know, I understand why they went in the direction they did and did it in this fashion. And, you know, and sort of if you look at it, like it's this fragmented sort of like person and all these pieces come together. I think the thing that really kind of threw me off, that I wasn't crazy about early on. I think I warmed up to it a little bit, but was the scenes where the three, so there's three women who are basically put together into to make one Frankenwoman, and they have these scenes where the three women inhabit, you know, a similar space, whether it be a house or a car or whatever, and they look normal. And they're all conversing because they all share a brain. So there's like bits of each person's brain. Yeah, Raven Shadow?
You know what came to mind? I don't know if anyone remembers. There was a sitcom called Herman's Head.
Yeah.
Where the dude was the, you know, the main character, but all his various personality elements, you know, operated in like a room in his head. And kind of controlled the functions of the character. So it was kind of like, that's what immediately came to mind.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so those scenes, I don't know, like it wasn't necessarily bad. It just kind of threw me off, like having the three women just sort of normal, just hanging out, chatting. And it just, I think it took me out of it a little bit. You know, I'm not saying it's necessarily a terrible thing, but it just kind of took me out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I get what they were trying to do. I wonder if they could have done it in a little more sleazier way.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe like, so it wasn't so, like they're wearing their fine like clothes and whatnot. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. They could have been, which, I mean, whatever. I didn't direct it to fucking do what he wanted to do. I'm not going to fuck with you. But I mean, just, I don't know. And I think that's what I was, to take it back to what Creepy Girl said. I kind of wish this was a little bit
more on the nose of what you expected.
Yeah. A little bit sleazier.
A little sleazier. Okay, there was definitely some sleaze, not a ton, and it did. There was a decent amount of violence as well. I think it could have used more early on. I think that's
it's
a little unbalanced.
I was really looking forward to this.
You know.
Reanimator, Frankenstein, Frankenhooker. I remember when Frankenhooker. Frankenhooker. Yeah. Franco Nero was falling on dark times. No, I remember like recording Frankenhooker on like the movie channel back in the day, and then like faking sickness on a Monday. It was a Sunday. I faked sick on a Monday to watch it. Oh, and I watched it a lot. Certain scenes, like the cats with catnip. But yeah, like I definitely got that. But I wish it kind of went more, pushed the envelope a little bit. More nudity, okay? That's what they should have been.
There's really just the one scene, right?
No, it was half a butt. Not even a butt.
It was like a side boob.
Yeah, you can get that on FX. Sometimes I've seen Charlie Hunnam's ass. I mean, I don't fucking...
I'm sure you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Everything okay there, Mars Man?
Just waiting.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Just being very quiet. Well, why don't you take this opportunity, then?
I really like this.
Yeah.
I really liked this.
Well, I guess I'm not that surprised.
Not for the reasons that you're just going to say that I liked it, though I like that too.
You like her haircut?
Yes.
Mars is like, he has a type. I mean, he likes a lot of women, but ooh, there's a type. And this actress, I think Tori Stolper, is exactly like Mars's.
Right.
If he was going to make a Kelly LeBrock style woman.
Yeah, she would look like
the it'd be Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but
but this would be the runner-up.
Yeah.
So, what did you like about it, Mars?
I thought it was charming.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was enough of an homage to things like, you know, well, specifically Reanimator and Stuart Gordon stuff, but it like was kind of had the same things of like, I don't want to say romantic comedies, but it did have like a lot of those like kind of tropes.
Yeah, no, they're definitely, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, you know, with a bigger budget, this could have been something that had like, you know, the cast of Ghostbusters in it, or, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not just fake Ally Sheedy here, but, yeah, I don't know. I thought that I liked all its gimmicks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Were you okay with the sort of nonlinear storytelling?
Yeah, I did like it. I do feel like at a point, I feel like there was a point, and I can't, and it might be just because I've seen a few of these, right, where I feel like they tipped their hand a little bit. Does that make sense? And I knew, I knew who was in on it. Almost like not long.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Not long before, but but before.
I think the intro kind of like gives it away a little bit.
What? The intro gives it. There's nothing. It's not like there's nothing to. There's no real spoilers. I mean, I guess there's one, but are you saying that it gives it away at the end?
It just makes you get to that. From the flashbacks, you make it get to a conclusion sooner than the reveal.
Mm. I guess, I guess.
Oh, the flashbacks do it, but something happened right before they went into that particular chapter that I can't explain. Like, somebody made them there a different way that that.
I do love her, and I do love this scene. Because now
this is the scene when after her like birthday party, she comes back home.
Right, right. Dynamo's type is in a bar. She's having a relationship with her boss,
a married man.
Married man, who shows up basically like, "Hey, I gotta go. Happy birthday. We'll see you later." She has two friends that show up that are very ambivalent to her birthday party, and then she's just kind of stuck at home. When she gets home, things take a turn.
It's a lot of blood.
Yeah, so now I'm locked in, right? Because I really wanted to see this. So now I'm okay. I'm along for the ride.
Okay. And were you along for the ride for the whole thing?
Well, we'll get to that. It's a discussion show, John. It's not...
I don't think you're going to blow your load here or anything.
Right, all right. Well, I can tell you, we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, no, I don't know... So, say you didn't like this, right? Which is fair. Like, there was... It's not a ton to hang your hat on, but, like, I can't imagine hating this. You know what I mean? Like,
I can.
Yeah, I... Because I feel like...
Now, this is some good gore here. There's a reveal of what's created.
But, yeah.
And the movements were nice. And I didn't hate this. I'll say that right now. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I didn't love it.
Okay. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Love it. There was some stuff here. Let's say that the nods were not copying. They were homage.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Okay.
You know. I really think I kind of wanted to go a little bit further. Like more, I don't know. It's hard to say. Expectations, right, is what we talk about. We talk about what we think we want and what the product is. Like, this is a great scene. There's some great stuff here. The first 20 minutes, definitely, I was into. Like, this is different. Montezero probably could speak to this otherwise, but you never really see a lot of, you know, chicks sewn together movies.
Monster Zero would have totally missed the point here. Like, he would have said, like, this is just a copy of this and this and this and nothing. Like, he... And it's not funny enough to be the type of... This would have been, like, we would have talked about it. I as I was watching this, I recited it in my head how it would have gone. Like I like this type of comedy. And he would have said, I don't know that I would say it's a comedy.
Creepy Girl is shocked that you liked it. She says, oh my god, Mars liked it. I'm in shock. She hated it. Cecil says, bad dialogue. Creepy Girl says, artistically, the Franken girl was not good either. Artistically? Acting wise?
Maybe she means the special effects.
Because I thought...
I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was okay. The only thing... I thought it was a weird cut. Like the way... I guess I would have liked it maybe a little bit more asymmetrical, but I mean, whatever. That's just a nitpick at most, you know.
Yeah. How many girls you sewn together?
None.
You don't fucking know
none.
How it's done. Well, I'm not fucking sure. You're a fucking nice guy.
How many of you? How many of you sewn together?
I don't want to fucking talk about it. Let's go to commercial. All right, listen. Changes.
I do think that there was some pretty good acting though, because I believe I mean, I'm not positive because it's hard to tell, but I believe that that's Tori Stolper who's playing most of the scenes with the stitched up girl.
Well, that's my question, right? I mean, they're doing the look of the other ones, but it's all her, right? She's the main Frankenchip.
I mean, I think so. I mean, it's hard to tell, you know? I mean, it looks like her. So, you know, I thought there's some good physical acting in here. Like, I think she does some good, you know, good physical acting, bumping into stuff and, you know, like generally looking like a sewn together corpse, you know?
I've walked down a lot of hallways like that.
I'm sure you have. You know what's funny? There's the owl bat or whatever it is. Although looking at her now, her face stitched up reminds me a little bit of Mankind's Mask.
That's funny, yeah.
Now that I see it, but
should be in the boiler room.
Yeah, exactly. But I think in hindsight, I like this movie more now that I sort of can kind of reflect back on the entirety of it. You know, I think that there's some of the things that didn't quite work for me kind of fit a little bit better when you have the whole story in front of you. And that's, once again, that's sort of part of the gimmick of telling a nonlinear story. You're not getting all the information until the end, typically. You know, this is kind of piecing it together much like a fucking, you know, Frankengirl. It's stitching it together and putting the story together. But I think I would have liked a little bit, some more revelations early on, I think, maybe. Just to tie it together a little bit more.
Yeah, it's got some elements. I mean, once again, how many... you don't see a lot of three chicks being sewn together in movies. And very rarely see, you know, Franken-woman vigilantes either. You know, on a quest for vengeance.
On a quest for vengeance.
Yeah, Franken-chicks on a vengeance. That should have been the title. Have Robert Rodriguez direct this. It'd be fucking business.
Franken-chicks on a vengeance.
Yeah.
What's on a vengeance?
Yeah, I'm on a vengeance right now. I'll be out of the office tomorrow. I'll be on a vengeance. Thursday, June 29th. And returning on Friday, June.
Out of office reply?
Yeah. My on a vengeance reply. I'll be out of the office.
Is that
on a vengeance? Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Like Avengers?
Yeah, Avengers? I'm on a vengeance. I'm on a vengeance tip. That's fucking the new right now, Johnny.
The new? Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm on fleek right now, dude. You don't even know.
Did you say in fleek or on fleek?
Both of them. I'm two things. I'm all that stuff. This is how we die. I'm learning. I'm hanging out with 21-year-olds now.
Whoa.
No, he's a dude.
Whoa.
He's my friend.
Okay.
He's my bro.
Cecil says the girls and their banter together was so bad. The maid lead was the tougher one, and the airhead one was so poorly written.
I feel like you're... I don't know. I mean, you know, like, I feel... It's like I was talking about Blood Drive the other day. I feel like you are criticizing it for doing what it was trying to do, which was kind of doing, like, a John Hughes style.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, that I think that's a good way of putting it, Dynamo. It's kind of like if you take, you know, Reanimator, Frankenhooker, and, you know, John Hughes and smash him up, and this is kind of what you get, you know? I think that's pretty apt. I think that the John Hughes part could have been better in my estimation.
Well, I feel like when you're paying, you know, and I don't think anybody in here was bad. I mean, I don't know. You know, me and Creepy Girl don't agree all the time. Hashtag nope. Landmine click.
Landmine goes click.
Yeah, which was made for $1.50 and had some of the worst acting I've ever seen. But, you know, like, you know, a lot of time her and I really do agree. So I when I was watching this, I actually thought of her and I could have seen it go either way. But, you know, I understand why somebody wouldn't dig on this. It's for a very niche audience, I think. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like it's like one of those mashup cover bands, like where you have like, let's do a heavy metal version of the Bee Gees.
Yep.
Right.
But if you don't like the Bee Gees and you don't like heavy metal, there's nothing for you there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, if you're not necessarily a fan of, I even think you would lob on to this if you were a fan of things that were John Hughes homages, like Mean Girls. You know what I mean? Or maybe even Clueless. But, you know, like, the reality was, you know, it just kind of is what it is. And maybe it's definitely not for everybody.
And so the director, Tyler McIntyre, I've actually heard a lot of good things about his upcoming film, Tragedy Girls. And some people have been really hyping it up, saying it's going to be one of the better horror films this year. I don't know when that's hitting. Mm-hmm. Has that hit VOD? It says that it March 12th. I'll have to look this up. I'll look to see if it's available, because if it is, I'd be curious to check it out. And but yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good things about Tragedy Girls, which is sounds like it's kind of a twist on the slasher genre. So I'd be curious to check that out as well.
Debit card across the room. I finally got a new debit card. Oh,
you paying bills right now?
Yep.
What the fuck?
I
a gambit.
Yeah. I got money from that benefit, and I don't want the fucking doctor police to come and rape me while I'm gone.
Well, I don't think they're going to find you.
That 4D scan looked fucking cool on the other end, but it also cost. I could have sent both of you to college.
What kind of college we
probably bought you graduation cars.
What kind of college?
Well, I could have sent you to a fancy one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have to fix
Raven Shadow do good at Quincy.
Yeah. Well, this is the second time. Right. Yeah, the first time, I was fucking on academic house arrest.
Yeah, I left Quincy because Batman the Animated Series was on.
That's fair. Yeah. That's why I quit going to catechism, because of the G.I. Joe episodes when Serpentor came back. I'm like, I'm not getting confirmed.
Right.
Yeah. And I wasn't, yeah.
My confirmation name is?
What's that?
Logan.
That's fucking nice. So I didn't know all that. I found out years later that you can pick a name, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Can I do it again?
I actually have a fake. I didn't actually get confirmed, but I got pissed that Tiny got a name, so I took one.
Took one, yeah.
Yeah, I was like.
His last name?
Huh?
You took Tiny's name?
No.
I'm going to do that. I'm like the 40-year-old confirmation. I'm gonna go back and get confirmed.
Maybe I'll have my bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Do that. Talk about misfit.
Michael Raven Shadow's for anything that's bar in the title.
Yeah. Go to that bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
That'd be a great Jewish
tried
bar.
To be.
is that going to be a Jewish bar?
Michael
Jewish
Raven,
theme bar?
Michael Raven Shadow tried to be a lawyer for a couple of months.
Yeah, he passed the bar, right?
No, I didn't pass. I went right in.
Every day.
Pass out in the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just like, I this is not... about 15 minutes into this, I remember Jakey telling me, be careful what you wish for, when I was looking for things that were a little less academic in my horror. But I don't know. I really came around in this. I think most of my friends will also hate this. But, that doesn't bother me. I really liked it. Look at that fucking haircut, though.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a little pixie? Is that what you call that?
Actually, you probably remember. That's what that girl I dated from a different country looked like. Well, she's from this country, but a girl from...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
She looked just like that.
Yep.
She was fucking crazy as a soup sandwich, though. She does live in Long Beach. How about that?
Ooh. How about that?
How about that?
And I texted her and said I was going to be there, and she didn't text me.
She didn't reply back?
Nope.
She moved out of the country.
Yep, she probably... Fucked. I'm going to be in Long Beach next week. Oh, good. I'll finally visit Massachusetts. Tiny likes to talk about her because he occasionally will say, the irony of her now being a lesbian that lives on a boat isn't lost on you, right? He's like, you really fucked that one up.
Wow.
What? First initial J?
Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And that redheaded girl looks like somebody who I briefly... went on dates with too, so maybe this is just like my big like.
This is your life, Dynamo.
Yeah, I never, you would think I fucking made them into monsters with the way they treat me now, but they didn't need my help to be monsters. That's what happens when you date robots.
Yes. So we haven't really. I mean, we haven't dug too deep into the actual film. I thought the film looked great.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it looked really good. I think the direction is fine,
and I think it was edited in the way that the other type of movie that this is, that kind of 80s comedy, I'm not like, when I say John Hughes, I'm not necessarily like saying like something a little more real life like The Breakfast Club. I'm talking about like 16 Candles.
You know, like, yeah.
where you know everyone is kind of an archetype and
right, right.
You know, I mean, I know, I you know, this is a movie that as I watched it, I could see a lot of people like saying, you know, I'm sure that this is somehow going to be in, you know, offensive to film viewers and offensive to women. And
I don't think it's offensive. I think it's not offensive to anybody.
That's kind of my take, is that this is a, you know, like, I hate the term popcorn flick because it often gets bandied about, you know,
right.
on, like, Michael Bay films. Like, movies that I feel like have no fucking redeeming, yeah, or redeeming or quality. But I think that this is kind of a popcorn flick. Like, I think it's fun and dumb. And
in a way, one thing we haven't even touched upon is it's kind of a revenge film as well.
Well, that's what I mean about the vengeance part. I mean, yes, these women, you know, were, they had bad days, you know, and they were treated like, you know, at least Dynamo's type, the Dick Grayson looking girl.
Dick Grayson, you don't look like Dick Grayson.
You like girls that have Dick Grayson's haircut.
I'll fight you in the room.
No, I mean, he's,
I like girls that have Dick Grayson's butt.
Ooh. Right there. Like Midnight, I know that ass anywhere. When he knew who Dick Grayson was, Nightwing. Right. That's funny as hell to me. But no, I mean, like, once they realize that they're all put together, then they get empowered. She gets her hair. She has a look. Like, she becomes like Doc Man.
You know what I would have changed in this?
Doc Man.
The Doc Man. Right?
To pull off the special effect a little better, I would have had all three of the women played by the same woman.
How come?
Because then you wouldn't have had to deal with the fact that, despite the fact she has a baseball stitch up her face,
yeah.
she only really looks like one of them.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is just cut out the scenes where the three of them are hanging out in a room.
No,
together.
I would have had that, but had them all kind of played, you know, like an old Eddie Murphy movie.
Okay.
Not like, not like Raw, like, you know, like the Nutty Professor.
The Clinks or the Clumps, whatever it is.
Clumps, the Clinks and the Clanks and the Clumps.
Or maybe like whoever was like the dominant personality at the time could like her feature is face is shown more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like an anime.
Man, she is beautiful, though. Oh, great. Ledger's here.
Oh, fuck. Next one, Ledger.
Yeah.
Next week. Listen to next week.
Ledger, I do not just like this movie based on the fact that I was in love with that girl. That movie's
that
called,
doesn't hurt.
That movie's called Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah, but you love that movie.
I can't even tell. I just go off like a water wiggle.
Water wickle.
The minute she roller skates in.
All right. Well, I think we can start to wind this down. Does anyone else have anything else that they wanted to bring up about this film before we hit the verdict?
Not so much the film, but this is the downfall of... Now... And from watching it, I enjoyed it, right? I may have enjoyed watching this more than other films that I will admit were better than this.
Yep.
But it's also the downfall. There's not a lot to, you know what I mean? There's not a lot to, like, you know, there's not a lot to unpack, as our esteemed colleague El Goro would say.
Yeah, it's kind of all on the nose. I mean, there's a couple of red herrings in the beginning. With what one character's role might be, her friend, Jeffrey or Jarrett or whatnot.
The English dude?
Yeah, yeah. But it pretty much is what it is, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Like
This is this.
There are two terms I say all every day, and one of them I hate. And one of them is, it is what it is.
Right.
And the other one is, you're killing me, Smalls. The two things I say every day. And the latter is lost on the younger people that I work with.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, I really... there were some neat flourishes in this. Like, I'm glad this scene is on in the background. I feel like there are a lot of time where people are looking in the mirror or window, these girls, and they're looking through, like, you know, you're seeing it through... the window pane, and their face is split by either like light or, you know, a fixture. And this time the mirror, she was in the bend in the mirror. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, I liked all that stuff.
Well, and I guess now that I'm watching it back again, it's cool. Like, we just saw two dudes in the background that feature right. prominently in a scene later on, you know? So it is kind of cool the way they did it. And I think it needs a repeat viewing to kind of piece a lot of that stuff together. Because a lot of times you don't, when you see someone on the peripheral of a scene that you haven't seen yet, you don't remember that face typically, you know? So I think that it definitely is rewarding with repeat viewings. And, you know, that's always the struggle of you know, especially with everyone's time is so valuable, right? Like, it's hard to go back and, like, to put two viewings into a movie before you know what you think of it, you know? But if there's a movie you really dig, and then you go back and there's another layer there of it, I always love that, you know? So it's a delicate balance because, like, you guys know one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie, is 2001 Space Odyssey.
Right.
I can't tell you what the fuck that movie's about. Like, and it may change every time I see it, you know?
Right.
And that's one of the things about it that I'm so intrigued by that movie and how I can think of different things when I watch it.
I've got a present for you, Johnny, right?
Okay.
It's about some astronauts that get stuck in space because their ship rebels against them.
And there you boxes go. And monkeys.
Right.
Let's get the box with the monkeys.
Right? Can you pay us now?
Yeah. Sometimes just a space movie.
It's not just a space movie.
A robot running amok.
No, it's not a robot.
A sentient life form.
It's an AI.
I feel that isn't that
movie's awful.
Did I just say that?
No, you said robot.
And I said a sentient
actually,
said, life.
Actually, I think you said robot, but
it's a robot burble.
Number five is alive.
Yeah.
imagine if they remade 2001 with Johnny Five.
Yeah, but 2005.
Where's Johnny? He says, "Is that from that movie?" Special
movie. Las Lobos kick your balls into outer space. That's Short Circuit 2.
Oh shit! Right there. We've been ignoring the chat room. We got Rocky hanging out.
All right, Rock.
Rocky's new profile picture is handsome.
Mm.
I don't like girls that look like Dick Grayson.
A little bit.
No, I don't.
She looks like Dick Grayson. Dude.
Julie Meow Meow says, "I'd rather watch something offensive than boring."
Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't think this was boring.
No.
I don't know.
But she's not commenting on it. It just is the conversation that was going on in the chat room. So, and this is one of those films, once again, I stated early on when we first started talking about it that I didn't watch it under the best conditions and that it's I'm not going to give it an incomplete because I'm not going to be on the fence like that. I will give it a rating, but I feel like I do want to go back and watch it again. And especially now we're watching it here in studio, I certainly see some things that, you know, that on repeat viewing reward you, you know? So I think that that's kind of cool. And I wonder if I think even differently about it watching it a second time.
It's also worth saying, and I'm not apologizing for liking this, but like, we watch a lot of fucking garbage for this show.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. This is a fucking masterpiece compared to fucking Last Girl Standing or Evolution or any of that fucking crap.
Oh, these fucking dudes.
I fucking hate these dudes.
Yeah, the bros.
Yeah, but even like the worst one, they were like what was it? Like Jody, Brody.
Oh yeah,
Goody.
Yeah. I was a little worried about that girl when they got brought back to the Maroon Man.
There it is, yeah. But I like the payoff too of this scene.
Who's that? It's the Dominican Devastator. Ignore him.
He's just filming. Don't worry about him.
Who's that? Oh, that's Tom. We're all a little concerned, actually. Can you leave the room, please?
All right. Well, I think we can head to verdict on this one. So let's do that.
Trick or treat, baby.
I wonder if people would say you're a trick or a treat.
Trick or treat, motherfucker.
All right. Verdict time. We're going to let you know whether this flick was a trick or a treat. And any final thoughts we may have. I think we already know what he had to say, but let's go to Mars.
Treat.
All right, Mars, let's treat. Raven Shadow.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I wanted this to happen. Well, the director didn't, because he wrote what he wrote and filmed what he filmed, right? But I was intrigued by the premise. I was there right from the get-go. I kind of lost the way, kind of a little after what we're watching now, but overall, it I mean, it's listen, we're going to get into a fight come New Year's Eve, the New Year's Eve show, because my top 13 really is probably only going to be a top five. Unless
you sound like Mars last year.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I've already got, I mean, we only watched two of them for the show, but I already have.
Did we do, was Train to Busan this year?
No.
That was last year, buddy.
That was my number one of last year.
Then fuck. Then I didn't even need to start over. I don't know what.
We're halfway through the year.
Yeah, I don't even know, dude.
Let's cover Lego Batman. That's like a slam dunk.
I kind of.
But don't let those guys do. Oh, no, that's a different guy. I say don't let those guys do the Han Solo movies.
Oh, when's the fucking Axel Braun Wonder Woman flick coming out?
Jesus. What's your fucking verdict?
Can I get a box review of the Axel Braun Wonder Woman and say it brought you to tears?
Wrong fluid.
Oh, my God.
It's not so strange that it's in your eyes, though.
I would say it's a tepid treat.
Oh, my God. All right, so for me, I'm still on the fence about this one, but I'm going to err on the side of Treatville. So I'm going to go with a tepid treat as well.
Thank you.
This, for me, just is over the line. There was enough good in this. There was still some stuff that bothered me, and especially some of the scenes where the three girls are all just together in a room talking. It makes more sense later, but the first time I saw it, the first couple times, it kind of bothered me. I just wasn't feeling it. And I think some of the acting is uneven. I think some of the performances are quite good. I think some are just okay. I do think that the lead here was good, and I thought that it was a pretty good physical acting job. So Tori Stolper, I think, did a nice job in this. And I also think that there's enough here from the directors... from the director that makes me really curious to see what he's going to do next. And especially hearing all this good stuff about his, the next flick. What was it?
Chaos Girls?
Tragedy Girls. Hearing all the good buzz about Tragedy Girls makes me want to really check that one out as well. So I'm very...
Can I derail? I think the problem was it didn't need the comedy.
No, it did.
Like, I want this. She's a fucking vigilante. I want her and Gunwoman to team up. I want Carando and this other guy to co-direct it and do like a trilogy.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked in that sense.
Wolfie and I were talking, often talk about a thing that made me mad once, and it was a review in Rue Morgue magazine where they criticized the Birthday Massacre for being a dark electronic band. I wanted them to be a tough heavy metal band,
right.
But they were a dark electronic band. Like that, you can't do that.
But I think
the comedy to happen.
Oh no, fair. But I know me, your boy Raven Shadow.
Okay,
would like her to be a vigilante and join the Justice League.
Okay, good.
Join
the Justice League.
What's her name?
Franken.
Dark chick.
Franken chick.
Franken chick.
No, Franken lady.
Is it weird that I thought this too, like, that this I was attracted to, like, the hair, like, the long hair, short hair?
Yeah, that's nice. No, that's cool. That's dope.
All right, so, yeah, for me, tepid treat, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the director has up his sleeve next, especially Tragedy Girls. Maybe we'll check that one out sometime this year. So, there you have it. It is available on VOD. Dynamo liked it, and we got two tepid treats. So use your own judgment, and if you're into the whole, if you dig Reanimator and Frankenhooker, I think this is a good nod with I guess what Dynamo said, a little kind of John Hughes thrown in a little bit as well. So
it's a lot less hardcore than either one of those things too, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah. And it does get pretty violent towards the end. And actually, one of my favorite things I like at the end was Owlcat. Was that the... When Owlcat showed up, I fucking marked out. There's just this...
That's the that's the page, baby.
Wait, let me see if I can. I want to get that on the on there.
The main villain, I guess, for lack of a better way to put him, is the only complaint I have.
Release the owl cat. Bye. Archimedes.
Is Chariots of Fire?
Almost.
Like that shit is like Bride of Reanimator via One Crazy Summer. You know?
Definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's I wish that this one character, the main villain there, was not that he was a bad actor, but like it would have behooved it to be a fucking great actor because he didn't have a lot to work with and a lot of time, so to be more memorable, like
he was a little too silly. I think I would have preferred more of a
sinister.
You know, Dynamo, I'm going to revise. I think this is Frankenhooker meets Reanimator meets a Savage Steve Holland film. Because he kind of did John Hughes light in sometimes.
Right. John Hughes, the sprinkle of darkness.
John Hughes with a little sprinkle of darkness.
Yeah. A little sleigh goth for you. Well, there's the episode title.
Wow.
But it's true, though.
Oh, shit. On that note. All right. So that's going to do it for our review of Patchwork. Once again, if you guys want to check it out, it's available on VOD. And next week, get this. Get this. We are going to review. Mars, are you sitting down?
Yes. About 90% of the day.
We are going to review a movie from one of Dynamo's favorite actors.
Nice.
It's not Ryan Gosling, Dynamo. I'm sorry. But it's the next best thing.
Chris Evans.
Nope. Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
That's not even the fifth best thing.
We're going to review The Bad Batch from Anna Lily Amanpour. She's the director who did A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Are you trying to fucking kill me as out of this?
No.
Why don't you just book him against Ta-Nehisi in the main event?
Billy Gunn's in it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I think he does make a cameo. He and Momoa team up.
That's some New Age Outlaws right there. The New Age Samoans, they could do a tag team.
What ethnicity is Jason Momoa? I know he's of... like Islander descent.
I think he's like Vin Diesel and like Connor Hawk.
I think he's like Vin Diesel.
He can be anybody.
Vin Diesel looks like a melted action figure. What nationality is that?
But he can be everybody. He's like a man of the people.
It's like when The Rock was talking about running for president, saying he'd get the minority vote because everyone thinks he's the same as them.
Mars, he was born in Hawaii.
Okay.
So.
He looks like the fucking dude from like John Travolta in
like Death Rattle, Arizona.
His father.
Stupid humans.
So his father is native Hawaiian, and his mother's German, Irish, and Native American. So
Jesus
there
Christ.
You go.
He's a good looking dude though, right?
No. Don't ask him. Don't say it to Mars.
No, yeah, he is. That's how I feel I look.
You're right. He's not good looking.
Is he not a good looking guy, Mars?
Who?
Right there on the screen.
No, he's not.
No?
He's not.
Look at that.
Listen, I've come to the conclusion. I figured out why people are going crazy about him.
I think he's a pretty good looking dude. Yeah,
El Goro inadvertently alerted me, and I did a little research. It's because on TV he had a huge ding dong. Which makes me think that just everyone else's ding-dong is inadequate. Listen, I like my men a little softer.
See, I like dudes like this.
I like dudes like this.
Yeah, see, not me. I like him. I like somebody who, like, you know, like this guy would, like, fucking walk down the street with a handful of ass in his hand, right?
Yeah, it's very comforting.
I like somebody who'd like just hold your hand a little, but not the whole way. Like just like the cup, you know, cup your hand in and like hook it. Like, you know.
Yeah, see, I mean, I don't want to get intimate. I just want to hang out together. I'll look at some pictures.
I don't get
but like, it'd be cool. Like, if we went to a bar, I could like say a lot of shit, and I know fucking my bro Mamo is in the back.
Yeah, then it'll end up like Aries and not want to talk to you.
Huh. Well, it took a long time for that.
Yeah, and it's true.
It took at least 37 years.
I like a boy with, you know, a cardigan.
No, I like a man with an axe.
A boy with a cardigan.
All right, who plays guitar. It's got a deep voice, piercing eyes.
Mm-hmm. In a car.
Yeah, I like a boy who looks like he could go and hang out like at like your niece's and nephew's party and like run around and be friends with him. But like at night when you look at him and he doesn't know you're looking at him, he looks like he's probably killed somebody. Perfect. He's got some steely evil eyes.
I don't like that more. I like him with a beard.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's handsome.
Come on, dude.
I think he looks like a Star Trek 66 Klingon.
Look.
Like not a new special effects Klingon, like a
Raven Shadow, what do you think about him playing Eric Draven?
I'm not in love with, because like
that picture right there, he almost, if you squint, he almost looks like Brandon Lee a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Crow isn't like a big fucking dude though. I mean, like, I think,
well,
it's
Goro pointed out a very interesting thing. The Crow can be anyone.
No, fair. No, I know. Well, that came because fucking the movie did.
But
well,
you said Eric Draven.
Thank you.
Yes, I did.
And let's face it, let's not get it on the nose. He made the fucking Crow Green Lantern Corps because the movie made a lot of fucking money and wanted to make sequels, right? End of the day, that wasn't like an artistic thing. Like,
no, I think that when what's his name?
James O'Barr.
O'Barr made another one. It wasn't Eric Draven.
No, because it was the sequel, and then they did comics where it was like, it could be anybody, which I guess maybe is a thing. Whenever a crow fucking, someone's sad, a crow will take you back.
It's so sad.
I'm not sure a crow gets its wings.
Whenever somebody cries, a crow gets its wings.
Whenever somebody,
You know what fucking, you know what should have happened? When your fucking CDs get destroyed during your personal 9/11,
yeah,
a crow should have visited you and you could have exacted
probably
vengeance.
Fucking was fun boy.
Probably, oh, shit. Out of your fucking mind, man. But no, I think he doesn't need to be Conan. He doesn't need to be Aquaman.
He was Conan.
No, but you can't be all those things. Let somebody else.
Tell Ryan Reynolds.
No. You can be, oh, yeah, he'd be three.
That should be who Aquaman is.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
No.
Fuck it.
No.
He should have been Wally West, is what he should have been.
I agree.
Right?
Sure. I'll take it.
I would rather it not be Eric Draven. But it probably will be.
I just think that for me, the Crow is a little more like, the Crow is like the superhero that, you know, another superhero that like Loki or Benedict Cumberbatch would play.
I'll be the Crow.
You could be the Crow.
I could be the Crow.
Mm-hmm.
You could not be the Crow.
I could be the Crow. Dynamo said I could be.
Time to take him home. Yeah, I don't. I hope they get the fucking soundtrack right this time. I know everybody loves that soundtrack, but man, the Crow should have had an all goth soundtrack. Man, that's what it was all about. That's where it was at.
Fair.
It's the like, soundtrack was fucking great.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every fucking song on it was great.
Yeah, I just don't think... I think the soundtrack by itself...
It's one of the best soundtracks.
I think the soundtrack
ever.
By itself is awesome. I think it just... In relation to the movie, that should have all been Sisters of Mercy and Bauhaus. And it felt... the music at times I felt through the tone of the film off.
I don't know.
The Cure song...
Fucking
everything,
awesome.
Everything in that fucking movie should have been as impactful as that Crow song,
yeah,
or when the Nine Inch Nails song hit and he's running around. But then you start fucking adding Stone Temple Pilots. It's like, well, I'm not sure this fits.
Well, that was a great song, but that song does take you out of it. That does song
right.
Place,
I agree,
like, 100%. It was almost like, I don't even think when it was playing during like when T-Bird was driving around, like they wouldn't be playing that song.
Yeah,
like it just. I agree. It's a great song. It's a great track.
Yeah, I think by itself, there's not a bad song on that soundtrack that I can think of.
That's the only one that stands out in the film.
I just don't think it. You know, and it could be just for having a preconceived notion of knowing that, you know, James O'Barr wrote that, listening to Susie and the Banshees, and you know, there's references to, you know. great music, and it was kind of just the, it was the, you know, ready for people to fucking send me hate voicemails, but it was the mall version of the music that movie was.
Well, James L. Barr didn't, you know, I'm sure he didn't have creative control over the soundtrack, you know.
No.
The way, you know, obviously, you know, the way those things work, you know, record labels will be like, hey, put this on there. And, you know, or someone, the music supervisor will go out and find stuff. So it's, you know, it's all sort of feeds into each other. I think it was great, though. I think it was a great score. So
score was great.
Sorry, the score and the soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, the soundtrack, it is good. But I don't think that I feel like it's two different entities to me. Like, I'm sure I'd be able to, like, when I think of the Return of the Living Dead soundtrack, that's, like, a very symbiotic relationship. That, like, felt like what everybody in that movie would be listening to and stuff like that.
Right.
But, like, the STP song, what else? There's somebody else fucking weird on there that... Help me out, somebody. There's some other, like, kind of quasi, like, heavy metal band or grunge band on there where I was like, this doesn't go. Should have been some fucking KMFDM. Should have been some Sisters of Mercy. Should have been some Bauhaus.
The Ministry?
Yeah, a little Ministry. Should have been, but, you know, that I'm surprised Ministry wasn't on there. You know? Should have been some, I keep wanting to say New Order, but that's not Ian Curtis. You know, like the music of the, you know, the music that create character was created under, and this seldom happens in a comic, was very important. You know, like, he was kind of the embodiment of that type of character. Like, I feel like, you know, and it's hard for, like, a lot of our younger listeners to understand this because they grew up with as an entity. But at the time, I felt like it was, like, kind of a appropriation, one of the first appropriations of my culture. You know, like, I felt like they were like, so they're going to throw the Cure and Nine Inch Nails on here and hope I don't fucking notice that the rest of this is just top 40 radio music.
Right.
But that's just me. And I like Stone Temple Pilots. But there's some band. There's one song on there I don't like, though, actually, now that I think of it. But
I'm trying to remember.
I guess if only I had a fucking device that could.
I think I have the cassette that's at my parents' house.
All right. Well, we need to head to break in just a minute here. So we're going to do The Bad Batch next week, starring Jason Momoa and directed by Anna Lily Amanpour. Who did A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which we all liked, I believe.
Yeah, do we
right?
like that?
I did. I think we all liked it.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that one. We're going to check that out. And I'm sure we'll have some other stuff up our sleeves next week. But for now, though, we're going to cut to a break. We'll come back. We'll get some voicemails. We're going to shoot the shit and round things up and finish the show. So we'll be back in just a moment.
One dark and stormy night in the mid-80s, Joe Bob Briggs, Harlan Ellison, and the ghost of El Santo pulled a train on Elvira while Siskel and Ebert sobbingly masturbated in the corner. From that union arose the greatest movie critic and luchador that ever lived. We're not going to talk about him. He's kind of a dick. Instead, we're going to talk about me, El Goro, the stuttering movie fan and host of the Talk Without Rhythm podcast. Every week on Talk Without Rhythm, I discuss 2 to 3 movies tangentially tied together by a theme. I cover action.
And the most complete fighter in the world.
Sci-fi.
Open the pod bay doors, El.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Horror.
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
And the continuing adventures of James Spader, sexual deviant.
You're not worried that I'm going to fuck you, are you? I'm not interested in that, not in the least. Now pull up your skirt.
So check me out at tworpodcast.blogspot.com, drunkenzombie.com, or subscribe on iTunes. Talk Without Rhythm, the only podcast that will not attract the world. Adios.
Oh, delicious nerds. Ms. M knows you like to chat it up with other sexy shut-ins about comics, movies, video games, and your favorite TV shows. If that sounds like you, cuddle up to the Trick or Treat Radio Facebook group, or the FIB. That stands for Fan Interaction Board. Just go to Facebook and search for Trick or Treat Radio and have more fun than a Jedi at a lightsaber sale. Not enough? Watch us on YouTube, The Deadites TV, all one word. Last but not least, check out the world's most dangerous talk radio show, Trick or Treat Radio, at trickortreatradio.com.
I'm Alex West.
And I'm Andrea Subisati, and we are from the Faculty of Horror podcast.
And you're listening to Trick or Treat Radio.
Back on Trick or Treat Radio.
So I have to apologize a little bit. So I'm looking at this right now, and I guess there is more victory here than loss as far as the representation. And even in some of the loss, like, you know, the Rollins Band is doing a suicide cover and stuff like that. But,
yeah, you know, Nine Inch Nails is obviously doing the cover as well.
Sure. You know, Machines of Love and Grace are on here, but, like, what you have to understand...
That's fucking awesome.
It is good. But what you have to understand, for if you're me, you know, when the second end of that whole Cleopatra thing starts happening, you're starting to see kind of the more corporate version of, like, a lot of the bands that I love. And Machines of Love and Grace kind of fell into that a little bit. But I think my distrust of this soundtrack album comes from one fucking thing.
Okay.
And I think if you looked at it, you would be able to see, Dynamo, you don't like this because of this thing.
I'm trying to remember now. I haven't listened to the soundtrack in... Oh, Pantera.
Pantera's not on there. I like Pantera.
Oh, how...
You're on the... I feel like you're sniffing around the right, yeah, the right...
Helmet?
No, I like Helmet. I saw Helmet.
Okay.
Twice.
All right, let me look at the album I got it right here. I'm going to say Rage Against the Machine.
I fucking hate Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine is a fucking...
a fucking ugh.
Like, I don't even have... I see right through Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, but a lot of people love them.
Yeah, sure. Good.
I like them.
Fine. Congratulations.
They're not one of my favorite bands, but I like them.
Yeah. I don't like them.
That's your personal preference. You don't like them. All right.
Well, normally I say my opinion.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that they are one of those things. There are a lot of things I don't like. Probably more than things I do like. But Rage Against the Machine upsets me. Okay. A lot of it is because I hate that guy's fucking voice. I hate his dumb fucking fake... 8th grade politics. Every Rage Against the Machine song starts the same with some cool fucking music. And I'm like, I can dig this. And then...
How does that go?
Kill it in the name of...
Oh my god.
I learned politics from listening to my dad. Someone over to burn crosses. Yeah. I'm a whiny bitch. I'm in an 8th grade fucking fast. I'm in the drum. I left my drum circle for band practice. Fucking
Have you heard about the band Prophets of Rage?
No.
What do you think about Chuck D and Be Real with Rage Against the Machine?
Oh, sure it fucking sucks.
Minus the singer.
Well, good. Then it might be okay, because that guy's the fucking worst.
Well, Rave Chatter, what do you think about Rage Against the Machine?
One of my favorite bands of all time.
See, there you go.
Right. But he also...
What?
Mars doesn't like him.
I don't just dislike him.
He hates him.
Well, that's absurd.
What do you mean that's absurd? They're terrible. That guy's... I'm not
fucking awesome.
You like angry music.
Well...
You need music to get up and get going. I like that music that makes me happy.
I need bourbon and a beer to get up and going.
Yeah, I like music that makes me happy.
Well, yeah. Well, you can't be all shiny, happy fucking people and fucking ween all the time. You gotta make some...
ween.
Yeah, you can't mow the lawn to fucking R.E.M.
I can. I mow the lawn to R.E.M. all the time.
Mars, this is Providence.
And by the way, R.E.M., for years, we're writing the smart version of the politics that this jamoke is just yelling the same thing over and over again.
Killing in the name of.
Yeah. Over and over again. Just saying the same dumb shit over and over again.
You want to do me? Yeah, I mean, I think the key word is profits, right?
Have you heard this? It's pretty good.
I've not actually heard this.
It's Chuck D and B Real singing basically in place of the singer Rage Against the Machine. It's the full band Rage Against the Machine without Zach Della Rocca or whatever his name is.
I mean, let's be honest. Zach Della Rocca could not carry Chuck D's bags into the building.
Well, I agree. Is this better, Mars?
Yeah.
Or are you just not digging it?
No, that's fine. I like to watch people get hit.
Bunch of racists.
I'm all for that.
Or white nationalists.
I could watch that on a loop.
Is that Chuck D wearing a fucking Sabu style? Like?
I think it was Be Real.
This is the best fucking video of all time.
The video is very good. We're watching Unfuck the World by Prophets of Rage. It's a video on YouTube.
Oh, these are all horrible things. Show the cat playing piano again. And they have Stone Cold taking out fucking Commander in Thief.
Yeah.
I feel like Rage Against the Machine was kind of like WAF, like MC5.
No, I'm a J5.
Alright.
And you can mow the lawn to, what do you can't mow the lawn to R.E.M.?
Yeah, everybody hurts. Hey, Fred,
including my foot that I just ran over.
But what I'm telling you is that
underground beehive,
R.E.M. was one of the best arena rock bands, like, before they were on Warner Brothers and put out those records. So you're being outrageous and don't know what you're talking about right now.
Well, I think only one of those things is
Disturbance
true.
At the Heroin House. Like, come on, that's a fucking 10 times better fucking rock song than
Some of Those Burn Crosses. Well, no, it's
even... I listened to what I left my fucking college drum circle for band practice.
It's not apples to apples. It's a comparison.
Rocky says, "Oh, now Dynamo has my ire up. My Rage Against the Machine, by that I mean his gosling a dingy dildo."
That's right. I don't know what that means, but you're right, Rock. I support that 110%.
Rage Against the Machine.
I think Rock's a big fan of Rage.
I would have loved if fucking the guys from Pantera like fucking showed up and fucking kicked that fucking Zach fucking dildo Rocker. Dildo Rock around.
Don't be mean. He says very nice things about you.
Nah,
he says nice things about you?
Yeah.
Ledger says, "Fuck, I really wish the video had stayed fucked up."
Yeah.
And then Rocky says, "Anti-rage, pro-REM? That's like anti-hot sauce, pro-ass milk."
Thank you, Rock. When he's from Canada.
See, Rock probably, again, doesn't know that, like, you know, REM was a phenomenal rock band before they knew.
Cecil says, "This one goes out to the one I love."
I put 1989... 1987 REM, like, against any fucking wanky 90 bands.
Corny says he's going to make you lose your religion, Rocky.
Ooh.
See, but they're not talking about the REM. They're talking about, like, the end of career, like, cashing in.
Oh. REM. Rocky says, "I wanted to make Michael Stipe hurt. Worst concert I ever saw. Horrible live."
I think Michael Stipe is maybe the second best. Well... He's in the top 10 best frontmen ever, but I think
he's no David Lee Roth.
No, but I think he's the second, maybe the second or third best frontman that I've ever seen live.
Oh, you do have Ledger's on your side. He says, "I love REM so much more than Rage."
Yeah, it's not even a fucking contest.
Well, yeah, it really isn't the same, even a comparison, though.
But it kind of is in a way when you look at the, like, you know, when you look at the politics of REM when that's when they were doing. But the thing that everybody has to understand about REM is that
it's not like they sold out and like made like those records with Warner Brothers. They were like already fucking rock stars. They were already like playing in arenas and stuff like that when like, you know, I had seen them twice by the time Out of Time came out, and like they were playing in huge venues. They were like a Great Woods size band. You know what I mean? They it's not like they but they, you know, they just did what they did. They people know the people don't know like 19-year-old REM. They know 35-year-old REM. You know, and as opposed, like, how is that fucking wanker at 40 from Rage Against the Machine like gonna get up on stage and like act like that? He's gonna look like he's just fucking an old dumb irrelevant man having a stroke.
Joshua Libre, he's hanging out in the chat room. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
And what is he? He says Dynamo De La Roca is hilarious.
Dynamo De La Roca?
Yeah. Dynamo De La Roca.
Yeah.
Cecil says bow to Morrissey. Forget meat.
Yes. I think again another band that I think the Smiths are 9 gazillion times better than Rage Against the Machine. All bands, I would say,
outrageous.
All bands are better than Rage Against the Machine.
No, you don't like
the band that says I like girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch, Chinese food makes me sick. That band's better than Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, okay.
Michael J. Fox was Alice B. Keaton. That band's better than Rage Against the Machine. Let's see. Backstreet Boys, I like them more than Rage Against the Machine.
You're being outrageous.
New Kids on the Block had a lot of hits. I like them. Oh, I already said them. There is not very, I can't think of a single band that I like less than Rage Against the Machine.
Who do you like more, Rage Against the Machine or Kid Rock?
Kid Rock by like a lot.
You like less.
Right. No, I like Kid Rock more than Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
He is fucking terrible.
Bow with a bow to die.
You'd rather hear that? Bow with the bow?
Yeah, but the boat. We put that on the boat. Bow with the bow.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would. To be honest, I would probably gouge my ears out if I had to hear either, but I would prefer probably.
Yeah, I can't do REM.
I would prefer country Kid Rock.
Yeah, I mean, I am not an REM guy. I know.
I bet you that there's, like, by the way, I put a ton of REM and They Might Be Giants on your CD, and you probably have no idea because you have a preconceived notion of what both sound like.
You know REM. There might have been a, what was it, Ween?
No.
What'd you say? What was
they
the
Might
other
Be
one?
Giants.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah, but you don't know. How can you say you don't like a band that sounds different with every song?
Yeah, the Consentinel, whatever the fuck it is. See, the Dope, Business from the Turks.
Yeah, you don't
Spider,
know.
What you're Spider, about. He's yeah, a
you
hero.
Know,
I know
you don't
that
know
song.
What you're talking. Yeah, that's two songs. Yeah. Like, they do punk songs and they do funk songs and they do disco songs and they have electronic songs. Like, I you know, I'm hard pressed to imagine that you've. Can say you don't like them based on two songs where I don't even know if they sing in them.
Yo, Monster doesn't have to have every single fucking peanut butter cup, peanut butter pie, peanut butter cookie to know he's fucking allergic. Just take one.
Yeah, but that's like, so if you heard one, here's the thing though, if you hear one Rage Against the Machine song, you've heard every Rage Against the Machine song.
Same thing for the Ramones.
But if you hear one They Might Be Giants song, you could probably hear another.
What about AC/DC? Like, I'm just
same
playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
It's like they wrote every single song in their career at like on the same day.
Right.
They all like
Brian Johnson
have,
AC/DC.
Yeah, yes, Brian Johnson. Yeah. I'll make that caveat.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing, is it?
No, I mean I'm not taking away your little REM. You
it's
can
only,
have it.
It's
I
only
just don't like it.
Yeah, but I also think that you don't know it.
I've heard enough. I need to know. I have too much fucking time on my hands.
Yeah, but it's
too
like
too much time on his hands. Yeah. Hands. What's a frequency, Kenneth? You know.
See, you don't like you're like, but that's not
that's
later
that is,
era
yeah,
REM.
That's
but
really
that's
really
fine though. But I don't.
But
care
that's
to
not
back.
What good REM sounds like. You listen to like dozens of bands that copied REM.
Night Swimming.
Yeah. See, that's later. That's like.
Well, how far am I going back?
Like,
I'm not a time
they
traveler.
Started in 1979. Making amazing arena rock records.
I'm not going back that far. I heard enough. I don't need it. I don't want it. You can still keep it. I'm not taking it away from you. I'm not saying you don't have to love it. I'm glad it's cute.
And second, Night Swimming. You're making fun of a brilliant song like Night Swimming when you really have advocated for Kid Rock.
No, the Devil Without a Cause record, I feel, is very entertaining for me.
Listen.
When I was fucking
kids,
21.
Go out and buy the good version of Rage Against the Machine, which is System of the Down. And then you don't have to listen to any of that fucking, you get fucking correct politics. You get fucking intelligent fucking
I'm not going to dispute
things
that.
Put out.
System of the Down is better than Rage.
It's all fucking.
It's different though. It's a different
all subjective.
Vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
If you, Mars, if you're going to the gym, you're saying you'd. I know you don't like Rage, but you don't want something aggressive. You'd rather listen to like REM.
No, I would listen to Ghost Hustler. I have my running mix. It's got fucking. I'll tell you right now.
Everybody hurts.
Cecil says, Mars is cold as ice. He's willing to sacrifice our rage. Just like that. That's how good. I read it.
That's a better song.
Rocky says, "Oh, Dynamo just spread feces on my face and fuck my ear hole."
Everybody Hurts is a good song.
Yeah, it's real. It's fucking my jam. It's my fucking my first dance.
Julie Meow Meow says, "I love My Chemical Romance. No shame."
I like My Chemical Romance too. I like him very much.
Do you want to edit this?
Yeah. Cecil says, "Kid Rock is just no, absolutely not."
Yeah, it's the fucking
Kid Rock is Miley Ray Cyrus.
I agree. So, Ghost Hustler, Night Battles.
Rocky is losing his mind.
Thank you, Rocky.
No, he says, oh, fuck this. Kid fucking Rock?
Social D's a good band, Rock. Come on, join me again. Social Distortion. Come on, baby. Like Ness.
There is REM in my exercise mix.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, Rocky says, Raven Shadow, $50 if you dick slap Dynamo. He's putting his headphones down. Holy shit.
Wild Zero, the song, a couple of songs. Yeah, Wild Zero's the band that did the end theme on the Elm Street Kids.
Yeah. Our boy Clay Inferno.
Feral Ritual. A bunch of Ghost. A bunch of the Damned.
No, outright like aggressive music though. Like
Black Cat Attack.
I guess that's... That could be considered aggressive.
But I don't need aggressive music.
Well, aren't you fucking enlightened? You and Johnny should have a great fucking plane ride.
I'll get it. I'll probably...
There's a lot of Laserhawk on my... This. You want to see the first fucking song on my fucking runny mixes?
I want that green screen. I want you running behind a green screen right now. That's you, like, and do nothing. It's a cute little synth song.
Here's been my take on like that whole like like most of the people that I know, like I always go back to what Mick Foley said, like before that exploding death match. He was listening to Tori Amos' song Winter. Like I don't know. I'm never afraid of those fucking dudes that come out and fucking pound their chest or whatever. Like. If Kid Rock, literally, I can tell you right now, if Kid Rock came up to me in his fucking dumb Walmart button-down shirt in his fucking warm-up pants and jumped down and started fucking waving his hands and bombing at me, I would take one finger, I would bend it back, and I would put the tip of my cock on his lip.
What? That's assault, brother. He just wants to say hi, and he probably want to donate... You. Yeah, he's probably like, well, Dynamo, I want to donate to the Dynamo Fund.
Yeah.
And you put your dick in his mouth. Yeah. That's not nice.
I have humiliated
not help.
A lot of fucking testosterone, like, ooh, AF rock listening guys. Like, just fucking dumb. Rage Against the Machine is dumb. No, now, El Goro's going to call and be like, I like Rage Against the Machine very much. El Goro, this one time, I don't care.
Whoa. Yeah.
Wow.
You're just saying that because you're not going to see him in California.
You're just saying that because you're meeting new friends in California.
No, those are my same old friends in California. Right. Coop. He was on episode like 7.
Canada fucking loves Rage Against the Machine.
No, they don't. Coop is from not Canada.
No.
He's
not. Where does he live?
Huh?
Where does he live?
I'm not telling you. You're going to go there. He lives in the South.
South Canada?
No. He lives not too far from where the fucking robot lives. Oh. But yeah, so no. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean... Black Cat Attack's pretty aggressive. Like, what do you want? Like,
I said they were.
Yeah. What about... All right, let's just
people
take...
People are different.
Working out. What about, like, that level of, like, aggressive music gets you, like, pumped up?
What about it?
It's passion that gets me pumped up, not anger.
Well, it's subjective. Sometimes anger has passion.
Like, I didn't need a fucking Pantera. I didn't need, like, every other fucking wanker on the powerhouse thing had Pantera, Rage Against the Machine, or Rob Zombie as their entrance theme music. I didn't need that.
Well, you could probably guess who I listen to most when I work out. And
Faith No More.
No.
Oh, who's Testament.
Who's my double tap?
Oh, your boy, Scott Town. Pilgrim. Devin Townsend.
Scott Pilgrim.
And he is the most positive metal I've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, all his songs are about, like, love and...
I love Metallica. Like, it's not that I don't love metal. I just... Like, I don't think Rage Against the Machine is metal, first of all.
No.
No,
they're garbage.
No. Oh, well, Johnny, so bad.
Johnny
so
didn't put garbage in.
Cecil says Kate Bush gets me pumped.
Kate Bush gets
me awesome,
fucking pumped.
She's awesome, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if I was going to have, like, an MMA fight tomorrow... Like 90, like the songs that I listen to before the Deadites play, 90% of those songs don't have even drums on them.
Well, then enjoy those
acapella versions.
Yeah,
no, but they're like just
you can have them.
You know, like they're things. I mean, and some of them have like different sort of drums. Like you know, like I listen to like you know when I'm kind of getting jacked up for a show, I listen to Dead Can Dance.
I like
Dead Can
Dance.
I listen to
Sunday
Love. That's my jam right there. Yeah, but no one's taking those things away from you. You can have them.
Yeah, but that's
we're not
like
voting them off the island.
Yeah, but that's like my Grammy response for somebody who doesn't like something. Like you can have that, and yeah. I can have that. No. If I had my way, first of all, you're forgetting. I might have got too soft. I need to remind you. When you guys say something, that's an opinion. When I say it, it's a manifesto.
And, all right, well, let's have another benefit and we can get all the bad music go away, okay?
And the reality is that if I had my say, if I was in charge, I'd take that. I'd take fucking all the Rage Against the Machine and throw it in Boston Harbor. It'd be the Boston Tea Party Pod dose. And everybody that likes Rage Against the Machine can be on a new style American Rager fucking Trail of Tears.
Well, good. That's nice. That's
I'll meet
nice.
Him at the fucking M with them with new blankets.
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice. That's good. The one thing you'd pick. I think you should pick other things before that.
No. Well, I got plenty of time. It's my universe.
I got plenty of time over here.
Yeah, I got plenty of noodles over here.
All right. Nice. Well, let's get some the voicemail. We got a few.
I can't wait to the voicemail next week. Everybody's gonna be like, I like the Crow soundtrack. I for one enjoy Rage.
Are you saying our listeners sound like that?
Yeah, huh?
That's the ones that are gonna fucking listen.
Yeah,
the
hero.
Ones that are gonna fucking complain. Rocky.
Rocky doesn't sound like that.
He does.
He's got the most badass voice out of all of us.
Yeah, and he writes good songs. I am so ashamed that a great writer like Rocky. I'm not ashamed. Surprise. Is making fun of a great band and endorsing a garbage band. It's outrageous.
He's endorsing garbage?
Yeah, he is. I don't like them either.
No shit.
Yeah, the fucking the mediocrity.
Are you hurting right now?
No, everybody hurts. Hurt. Everybody hurts, Raven Shadow.
I do.
Is
he sick?
Talking about who?
Michael Snipe.
Nice. He's a film producer. He's doing real well.
Cecil says, put some Nitzer Ebb on their Dynamo, front 242.
Right! Right! like, and by the way, your REM references are like the all of you. I'm talking to everyone who's making it. Is the equivalent of saying, I'm a very big horror film fan. I very much enjoy the old films like the Saw franchise.
Jesse G says, yo, I love Rage Against the Machine.
Thank you, Jesse G.
Isn't he your son, Mars?
Yeah, well, he's out of will.
Creepy Girl says, Demon Knight soundtrack is great.
Demon Knight soundtrack's good.
Yeah, even the Escape from LA soundtrack is good.
Yeah, it is.
All right, let's head to some voicemail. Yep.
I have that twice for some reason.
Let's hear from Evil Corny.
Hey, guys. This is Evil Corny. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Dane, and he, you know, the subject of Sanford and Son got brought up, and I don't think he had ever seen an episode of it, but he had heard of Sanford and Son. So I went on YouTube, found him a couple episodes, sent them, you know, emailed them to him, and, you know, and I think today he's finally, you know, watching a couple, you know, those episodes. And to me, it's real funny to where that's something that I grew up with, one of my favorite sitcoms, and he had never seen it, which is kind of funny because I thought that was like worldwide, you know, some of our things like Happy Days and Sanford and Son and such. And I was just curious, everybody on the podcast around the same age, you know, this in Trick or Treat Studios. What was y'all favorite sitcoms growing up? I'm just curious on that. I'll talk to you later. Y'all have a good week.
That's a good question.
I can go.
You know what gets me pumped up? Nakamura's theme.
Yes.
Go for it.
No, I mean, I was a huge mark for Three's Company, Different Strokes, Good Times, The Silver Spoons was my jam. Probably my favorites. I enjoyed the Mr. Belvedere, much like Monster Zero.
Yeah, but you're going to watch it as a fucking 41-year-old man.
Well, I am 40. Let's not get ahead, all right? But no, as probably.
Well, I'm going to get it for you for your birthday.
I
mean, so
thank you, Johnny. I will watch it if you buy it. December 27th this year, Wednesday night, Raven Shadow's turn.
Oh, we're going to move the show that week.
Fuck. Sucks.
For me, I guess they're all sitcoms. The first one that comes to mind is Greatest American Hero. That was my favorite show when I was a kid.
It was a great show, yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard.
That's not.
Oh, so those aren't sitcoms.
Those
aren't
sitcoms.
Well,
they had television shows.
Well, I don't like sitcoms. I actually don't really
they
like
sitcoms.
They
happened on
so
the TV.
Yeah. They're on the same channel, maybe?
So, what. I've always sort of been a little, like, unsure. What is a sitcom?
It's a situation comedy.
Right.
It's usually in a half-hour increment. They were usually filmed in front of a live studio audience
with a laugh track.
So, Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yes. There you go. You got on the right track. What? Name another one. Alice. Mel's Diner.
Happy Days.
Happy Days. There you go.
Is that a situational comedy?
The Brady Bunch.
Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Full House.
No.
Well, yeah. It is a sitcom.
Yeah, but it's
probably. I'm just naming things now.
I like Soap. Yeah. I like Benson.
Oh, I love Benson. Benson for Hire.
I like Cheers.
Yeah. The Webster.
The Webster.
I think my favorite, I mean, Sanford and Son is a big one, but I think my favorite of all of them is the most memorable is Different Strokes.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that probably beat out Three's Company for me, but I was Three's Company and Different Strokes are probably my favorite.
Oh, Three's Company is a good one. Yeah, yeah.
Night Court. Night Court was my jam.
Night Court's great. Did you just back up into a fan? What is that noise?
I was excited about Nightcrawler. Actually, that's a show I would kind of like to see redone now, like on FX a little bit, because they've been showing it. The New Hope and I have been watching the reruns.
How about the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, I watched that in syndication. Yeah, that's fun. No fucking Different Strokes. Well, I think for Kimberly.
Yeah.
Do you anyone have any others before we move on?
Oh, well, we said a lot. I mean,
we did. I know.
Yeah, Dynasty, Johnny.
Shut up.
The Fall Guy.
I just never knew what it was like. I know it meant situational comedy, but I never really. I don't know. I guess I never thought about it.
Here's a rock and roll jam for you, Michael Rare Show.
All right, good.
Just think about.
Why don't you let me put it on?
No, because then it'll. Then we can't talk.
He dropped his phone!
Why is that so funny? Look at this guy laughing like City of Hall.
What are you laughing for?
Okay, MZ.
Arsenio! Hey. What are you laughing for? He won't stop laughing!
All right, let's go.
That's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, he went. The rock jam.
American woman. Stay away from me.
Slap, crap, bush, whack. Tie another one to the rat, baby.
Oh, I don't like this. This sucks.
See, you would have liked it if you didn't know.
Oh,
didn't
shit. So, Creepy Girls had a couple really good ones.
What?
Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
Alf.
I said,
oh, yeah.
Mark and Mindy.
And Mark and Mindy. Yeah, yeah. Creepy Girls on fucking point. Alf is good. Real. She knows her fucking alien sitcoms.
Rocky says, okay, Dynamo is Dynamo gets points back for Soap.
Yeah.
Jefferson's Andy Griffith Show.
No, who the fuck said that?
Creepy girl.
Oh, slow it down, creepy girl.
All right, good question though, Corny. All right, let's go to our boy Nicholas. He's going to talk a little bit about the Batman 66 series.
Yeah, cool.
Hey, Trick or Treat Radio, Nick here. I just wanted to talk about a purchase I just picked up. I posted it in the group, but I wanted to talk about it a little bit. So I picked up Batman the series from the 60s. You know, I was looking at this set. I've always looked at it for years, and past like 3-4 years, I've been really, really into Batman. He's easily my favorite comic book character. I got to get on a lot of his stories, and still haven't read Killing Joke. But I just love his. I love the movies. I love the animated movies a ton. I have almost all of them. I just think he's a great character. You know, I mean, everyone loves Batman. But I just thought, you know, with Adam West passing, and you know, I do like the Batman 66 film. It's so funny. It's so fun. And I'm like, you know what? I want to see all his, like, rose gallery of, like, weird comic book characters, villains. So I was like, you know, I'm going to pick this series up and kind of go through it. I got so much stuff I got to watch. I don't know why I keep buying this shit. I still got to watch all of, what do you call it? Twilight Zone. Because Kevin's fantastic podcast, Strange Highways.
Yeah.
Check that out. But yeah, I got that to watch. I got John Wick 2 to finish. I got now this Batman series. But no, I mean, I love Batman. Thought Lego Batman was great. Batman's just great. It's a great character. It's never going to be boring. It's always going to be fun. I love the different iterations of him and how directors take him differently and, you know, and always keep changing him. But, you know, this was... I may even pick up... There's an original series of, like, the 50s ones that they did in black and white.
The 40s.
I saw that at Walmart. I'll probably pick up that too.
Yeah, it's the old.
Maybe I'll check it out at the library and see if I like it. But yeah. I just want to talk about that recent purchase because it's Batman. So thanks, guys. Bye.
Did you like it? That's
it's fucking.
I would
sucked.
Imagine so. I would hope so. One thing we didn't really talk about. I think we talked about it briefly, Ravenchild. But I think you're out of the room when we did. But I don't think we talked about Adam West and his passing.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
Is there anything you want to comment on?
Well, no, I mean, I might have said it before, but, like, I think probably the reason why I was... You can definitely... I had friends who will always complain about the TV show, that even when Avengers makes $1 billion, the newspaper articles still start off with pow, pow, zam. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
The 60s stuff. Did the TV show maybe set back the perception of comics, what comics could be,
yeah,
to normies?
Maybe.
Fair. But I think it also saved Batman at the time, at least. And for whatever it's worth, it got my parents to buy me the coloring books and the action figures. I always had superhero stuff, probably because my uncle and mother watched the show. And it was great entry level to comics. I mean, I would say when they would show reruns, my mom would get me up to go to school by guessing who the villain was. You know, like, oh, it's going to be the Joker. No, it's fucking Bookworm. I'm going back to bed.
King Tut,
yeah. But, I mean, what's interesting about it, though, they never really did any kind of origin in that show.
Yeah.
You couldn't, but like you didn't need it, right? I think one time they might have mentioned Edward Nygma, and I marked out they made one reference to the Wayne Foundation, but then they never even talked about his parents being murdered.
Yeah,
that was never even
said.
That's
true.
That'd be a downer.
Oh yeah.
It was probably a little bit too depressing for that show.
And then even as a kid, they brought in Aunt Harriet because they were very concerned about three men living together. And it's like, so you bring in kind of like a lumpy Nana. Okay, that's not going to change
perception.
No, she's very nice. That's fine. But she was actually relations to Grayson. She was Grayson's aunt. So then I wondered, like as a kid, I'm like 9. Well, why is he with the millionaire then? He could live with the aunt. There's a flaw there. But
maybe you just called her auntie.
Ooh, you can call me auntie if you want.
Mm.
So let me ask you this, though. The show went 3 years. Was the 66 movie during it or after it?
During. It was like at its height.
Okay, yeah.
Then I'm
because it was a big fucking deal. It was like Beatles big.
You get Sammy Davis Jr. on.
Yeah, he was on like, Life, the cover of Life magazine.
Which is a big deal back in the day. Like, it was Batmania for... What the fuck is this? Because it's fucking my Facebook up. Sorry. What is this thing right here, Johnny, that you're looking at?
I don't know.
Well, what's... Everyone that seems to have this, but it, my Facebook stops whenever they... Whenever it comes across it.
What do you have going on your phone that it's so...
Well, it's old. But whoever, please stop. I stop posting this on my shit.
They're posting it on their shit. It just happens to be in a shared feed.
Well, stop doing it because you're hurting people.
I don't know. Like this, I'd be hard pressed to. I mean, I do think it did in a way, but I also think that there's like a lot of preconceived, like some of them brought on by themselves, comic things. Like I've had four different people tell me, what the fuck? Do we need a little kid Spider-Man? What's this all about?
Right.
Well, Spider-Man actually was a little kid.
Right.
You know? Like, someone tried to give me the psychoanalysis of Wolverine the other day, because I was saying, like, I might do, I'm thinking of making a new portfolio, and maybe I'll do a Wolverine story. Like, that's something that, you know what I mean? Like, and they're telling me, like, all, like, what I should put in it, and all this, like, pathos and stuff like that. Like, what fucking Wolverine are they talking about? They're talking about fucking Hugh Jackman.
Right, right.
Wolverine. You know what I mean? Like, that fucking weird, like I'm an angry Wolverine who's an underwear model. You know, like, just...
6'5".
Yeah, you know, like, so I just don't, you know, like, and people don't understand because of that, the reason that I kind of... associate with Wolverine in the same way I associate with the Thing, because he's a monster, you know, like, but you know, you cast, it's like, you know, like making Hugh Jackman, who I think did a good job, I learned to love that Wolverine, but making Hugh Jackman Wolverine would be like making Tom Cruise the Mummy, you know, like
I'm the Mummy.
I'm a mummy. Fire out, kids.
I did get to meet Adam West. I got his autograph, Super Mega Fest many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I might have mentioned the story. And I got the... Now, to be fair, I didn't know the prices till I was at the table. And we waited a long time. So I probably wouldn't have... I wouldn't have done it again. But I ended up picking the...
I told Raven to fuck off. Yeah. For that same thing. I wanted to get a card for Vigilante, right?
Yeah.
And it was like $60. I'm like, nope.
You fuck yourself, Raven. but no, I got the autograph of the holding the bomb.
From, I've seen it downstairs. From, yeah.
And I go to give it to him, and he's like, "Oh, another instant classic," and signed it. And it was great, that voice, you know what I mean? So it was pretty cool. So in retrospect, it was more money than I wanted to spend.
How much was it?
It was like, it was probably, I think it was like $60 to $70.
Probably. Sounds reasonable. Yeah. Not reasonable.
Not reasonable, like, yeah. But like, and it was my first MegaFest, so I took careful. Yeah. I took money out, right. But like what I thought was going to last the day.
Was for Adam West.
Yeah, and I got Burt Ward too. But Burt Ward was cool. He got me and the Raven Clan at the time all in the photo.
Nice.
Signing to everybody. Nice. But Mr. West just signs one.
My favorite, autograph, I had to fight with the person to pay, because it's when I had hung out with him.
Yeah. Boy Wonder, I love you. This is old R.E.M.
No, it's Burt Ward. Stop. Singing a song called Boy Wonder, I Love You. Your pal, a Boy Wonder. He reads fan letters. This opportunity to catch up on my fan mail.
Wow. Even as a boy
wonder. I never played this really for you?
No. All the tons of mail I get. Here is a happy letter from someone just about your age. Ooh, I'm 40. Dear Burt Ward, I'm 40. This magnificent, exquisite boy wonder. A cold chill runs up my spine. Mine every fucking time too.
I
see you sock a villain.
I need my douche repellent.
This is what I play when I mow the lawn. This is why I do get pumped in the gym. For real though, we can laugh, but I have a whole wall of my room dedicated to you. Wow. Oh boy, wonder, I'm making a
gum wrapper.
That's how Rage was a Rage Against the Machine song. I just all like, as
I am tall, and I'm 5 foot 10 inches in stocking feet.
And I want to come over.
Please, boy, please come next Saturday and sleep for a week or two. I will feed you breakfast in bed. I will make your bed for you. And I like you so much that I want you to spend the whole summer with me.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
I hope you know this is a girl writing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! We were fucking concerned there, Bert.
I hope you know this is Raven Shadow writing.
I think, you want to lead up with that. Lead off. That's like your Johnny Damon lead off batter.
I can see how this is going to end.
Holy, caught on tape. What are you doing here, Chris Hansen?
Shit.
Holy chloroform, ugh. Wow, that's fucking weird, dude. But though, for no lie, though, according to legend, he's big in the pants.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Burt Ward?
It's funny, like, just that song, Burt Ward, went from being, like, fucking cool, forever young dude to, like, Steve Buscemi in Ghost World.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue on, and let's hear from Arkham Josh.
I'm a mummy.
Hey, guys. It's Josh from the Arkham Film Society here calling in. My thoughts on this week's film. I missed one or two, at least one. But, things get hectic. Things of that nature.
It's true, baby.
But, so Patchwork. I had honestly never heard of this film until you guys mentioned it. Looked into it, didn't have the highest of hopes for it, popped it on, I think, Sunday afternoon while I was doing some stuff, and I was pleasantly surprised. The comedy works very well. I think it's got a lot of good gore gags as well. At first, I was a little put off by the story structure being in chapters. Not that I thought it was confusing. At first, I just thought it was a little unnecessarily, like trying to be fancy, drawing attention to itself. But then, as certain story elements and character arcs came into play, I thought it worked much better, and it made more sense why they did it. Overall, I'm going to say that this is a treat. And recommend. Looks like the director has a new film coming out this year called Tragedy Girls, which also looks like it's going to be fun and interesting. So I look forward to definitely checking that out. And thanks for, picking this, or else I may have never seen it. So I hope everything's going well. I know I forgot to wish some of you guys a happy birthday, so I'll just wish everyone there a happy birthday now.
Thank you, John.
And I hope the show went well on Friday. I was definitely interested in going, but with getting up at 6 a.m. for work and all that stuff, a late night that far away, just wasn't going to work this past week, but, Hopefully I can get up there next time you guys actually play. All right. Well, I hope you guys have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Awesome, Josh. Thanks, buddy. Glad you dug it. And, it just sort of came on our radar a couple weeks ago, and we get all of our VOD news, as I've probably mentioned before, from the Horror Club. That is the horrorclub.blogspot.com. They run a really awesome site, and they keep their VOD information up to date all the time, which is where we get most of our information from. So we appreciate their site and some good dudes over there. So we saw this coming up on there and ended up deciding that we should check it out. And speaking of which, Raven Shadow,
yes.
The director, Tyler McIntyre, had just tweeted at us.
Oh.
And Tyler says, thank you for taking the time to check out the movie. Honored to have three treats, even if some are tepid.
Oh. That's awesome, dude.
There you go.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah. So Tyler, listen to our review. We're sorry.
Sorry about that, dude.
Yeah. I hope you don't like Rage Against the Machine.
You fucking turned off the podcast.
By the way, Donna Matrix yelled at me. She said I have to say sorry to everybody.
Oh, she listening?
It's not nice to make fun of people's music just because you don't like it. And it's not nice to pretend that you're smarter than everybody else, even when you are. I added that last part, but yeah. So I'm sorry. Got called to the principal's office.
Seems a bit disingenuous to me.
Well, I don't want to be on her bad side.
All right, let's check out another voicemail. By the way, Mars, I know you stepped away to talk to Donna Matrix, but Josh liked the movie.
There's nothing to not like about it. I don't know. Yep. Movie's perfect.
And all right, well, let's hear first time Mike.
What's up, Trick or Treat family? This is First Time Mike. How's everybody doing?
Good, buddy.
Tonight, I'd like to talk about a little movie I saw called The Mummy. Yes, starring Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe, and a bunch of people I can't remember at the moment. It wasn't a bad movie. I might be a little bit biased because it was a $5 show that I saw at the movie theater very close to where I work. And I didn't spend a lot of money, so maybe for $5, I thought it was an okay movie. My main thing with The Mummy is it is... Well, first of all, you can tell it's a opening to a new movie universe. And that it seems to want to spend some of the time where, you know, you want to have some cool stuff by setting the rules and kind of the basis of the new universe. And that's part of the little problem I have with the movie is because, you know, part of it, I think it wants to be like a horror movie, but my friend Joe described it as there's a lot of scenes that could have been scary if they would have put just a little bit more effort into atmosphere and going for the scare instead of the quick visual. And then part of it wants to be an action movie, but there's not a lot of action and daring do. You know, it's kind of like the difference between Evil Dead and Army of Darkness. Evil Dead was a, you know, pretty much, it was a slapstick, but there was a lot of horror in it. And Army of Darkness, a lot more action-y, but they decided, well, we're going to have some horror tropes in there, but we're just going to go completely nutsoid. And The Mummy seems to want to do the action and the horror blend, but doesn't want to do a strong version of each one, and it seems a little bland to me. I mean, the Brendan Fraser Mummy seemed to be a lot more, that was more pulp, a lot more tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, you had the little horror tropes that were brought out by the more pulp action. Tom Cruise plays pretty much his usual character of late, what I term as a douchebag with a heart of gold, and he means well. He didn't rub me the wrong way on it. But it's, again, it's a character that he's played a lot of times before. And I understand why they used him in the movie. And the future movies you see with the Dark Universe might be for the sheer fact that Tom Cruise is a great seller for around the world. Because even though it didn't do well in the States, it looks like it's going to do well internationally. But, you know, again, I like the movie. It was a fun movie. There's a bunch of in-jokes and, you know, little references that are, hey, this is cool, not the, hey, this is really awesome. It's just neat. You get this joke, you get this one. And it's I like that about it. And for the money I paid, it was a decent movie. I give it a tepid treat. I say see it for the lowest price you can get. Yes, Amy, I'm very curious to see what they'll do with Bride of Frankenstein and the other movies. And I hope that I wish the Dark Universe well, although, you know, my version of it would be a little bit differently. But I wish it all the success. I'm kind of interested, but it's a tepid treat. I say check it out. Maybe you get the DVD when it, or Blu-ray when it comes out, because it might have some interesting extras. This is First Time Mike saying good night. Bye.
Well, thank you, First Time Mike. He actually sent a follow-up, so I'm just going to play that before we comment.
What's up, Trick or Treat family? This is first time Mike got a little bit, I forgot to say in the initial Mummy review, so want to give props to Russell Crowe because I thought his portrayal of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was one of the high points of the movie. You can tell he's having fun in this role, and he also gives both Jekyll and Hyde a different body language and vocal mannerisms to the point where you can believe that these are two different entities in the same body. I also like the fact that the producers didn't go with the Mr. Hyde, all, you know, roided up as big as the Hulk as he's been in movies like Van Helsing and the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, among other things. I also like the fact that Dr. Jekyll's obsessions is one of the moving forces of this movie, and Dr. Jekyll is just as chilling in his obsession as Mr. Hyde is. Now, I'm not going to give it away, but a lot of things that happen is because he's pretty focused on one thing, and I'm not going to give it away. I also thought that Sophia Batulos as Princess Amunet, the mummy, was a interesting interpretation of the mummy story, because most of the time it's usually the male mummy after the female incarnation. And this turns it on its head, because she's a interesting blend of woman scorned because she's a woman in ancient times, but on the other hand, she's an evil entity out to destroy the world by any means necessary and rule at the hand of the evil god. And she does a lot of evil mummy things, and she does a pretty good job with the role. I was impressed by her. I kind of wish they made her a little bit, her scene a little bit scarier. A lot of times, instead of building up mood, they went for quick shocks, and that was it. But I thought that she did not bad of her of performance. So, this is first time Mike saying goodnight. Thanks for listening to Ramble once again, and have a good night. Bye.
Thanks, buddy. I still have not seen the movie. Has anyone seen The Mummy yet?
No, I don't. I'm probably not going to. In fact, I'm hoping that I can find somebody who wants to go see Baby Driver with me on the 4th of July, because otherwise I probably won't be able to go see it. So, like, so let alone The Mummy. But maybe once I'm there, if The Mummy's still there, I'll go see that too. But I want to see the movies. Hey, Wolfie.
Yo.
I love that you trying to exploit my hate for Jason Momoa made you neglect that the movie we're going to watch this week has Giovanni, not that one, but Giovanni Ribisi in it, Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey, and I always say his name wrong, Diego Luna.
Well, it had nothing to do with Jason Momoa. It had everything to do with the filmmaker.
Huh. How about that?
Well, no. But I know you didn't mention that any of them were.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. That I just mentioned him because.
Well, that'd have been a nice surprise, though, if we were watching that blindly.
Yeah, there you go. You just ruined his surprise.
Sorry.
I would have enjoyed. And he dies at the end. Oh, fuck.
Spoiler alert. Oh.
Well, first time, Mike, thanks for that, man. I appreciate you letting us know your thoughts, and I'm glad that, you know, tepid treat, you had fun with it. At this point, since I haven't seen it in theaters, I probably am not going to see it in theaters, but I definitely will see it when it hits VOD or, you know, something along those lines. So I'm kind of curious. Yeah,
I mean, I still haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy or Wonder Woman yet, so.
I was already doing two jobs at my day job, and now with some other logistics, some other people that aren't there, I'm doing that person's job too. So, like, the days of me being able to slip away and go to the movies for a while are gone.
Gone, yeah.
I'm lucky I can leave on Wednesdays at a reasonable time.
Right.
All right, we'll get a few more. Let's keep it going, and let's hear from Nathan Cotton Coy Vans Duke.
There you go.
Hey, guys. All right, this is Cody. Just a couple things I want to touch on real quickly. Firstly, I wanted to say Dynamo. I wanted to, say my condolences on the loss of Frankenstein. That's really,
thanks,
really
buddy.
Rough.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry to sort of grudge it up here, I guess.
No.
A little late. But I don't know. I think it's cold comfort, of course, but you should be proud of yourself for giving him the life that you did. Thanks. There's a very little chance that anybody strolling through that particular Walmart on that particular day could have, done better by him than you did. I was not intimately aware of his setup there, but he appeared to have been very well cared for and very well served, and that is truly worth being proud of. You committed a crime in procuring him. That's worth something. That's, you know, hard not to foster a relationship that it's at least interesting when it is born of crime. So yeah, I don't know. I do think it's worth hanging your hat on.
It's my first environmental terrorism.
Trying to think of anything else. Okay, yeah. Happy birthday to the birthday boys. I know it's even later. I hope this is a good year in each of your lives. May this year be the year that Monster Zero has some sort of like a physical affection. I'm not even going to say like sex or intercourse.
Just something.
We should really just like, I don't know. Let's not shoot for the moon just yet. But, you know, good luck out there. lastly, a couple of weeks back, there was some talk about radio dramas, or I guess podcasts, sort of serving as contemporary radio dramas. I grew up listening to lots of radio dramas. I listened to lots of like The Shadow and like Crime Busters and a few different things, like on cassette just over and over again. I have definitely been on the lookout for podcasts to kind of fill that void, and have found very few of them that I'm a fan of. Like Creepypasta is like fun enough for a minute, but you can definitely like smell the Reddit all over almost all of those. Very few of them really scratch the itch in a major way for me, except for one called Homecoming, which is a really remarkable one, with Catherine Keener, David Schwimmer, I forget the guy's name from, it's Lewin Davis, from, Star Wars. Who else? Amy Sedaris, David Cross. It's really, really good. It's a thriller set inside of a hospital for war vets with PTSD. I don't know how they can afford to get all of those people, but I think second season is starting relatively soon. 6 or 7 episodes. They're all like 20 minutes apiece. Could not recommend any more highly. Yeah, Homecoming. Check that out. All right, guys. I will talk to you later. Bye. See you, bud.
Cool. Homecoming. I'm not familiar. That sounds like a pretty extensive cast. It's pretty crazy. Is it like Spider-Man Homecoming?
Yes.
That's coming out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, pretty soon.
That's crazy. It seems like they only just announced it to me, but... like Cody, I was a big fan of the radio dramas back when I was a kid. I remember The Shadow, and I think one of my favorites, just because I'm such a huge Star Wars dork, is there's an Empire Strikes Back radio drama I remember hearing, or something like that. I want to say, I think it was Empire Strikes Back. Does that ring a bell to you, Raymond Chattelman?
Maybe.
There was definitely a Star Wars one that picked up before Star Wars that I think
maybe
the
BBC that's it.
Did.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But they even had a Star Wars newspaper strip that never was in my area growing up. So some stuff was, you know, different territories maybe in those days. Mm. You know, it wasn't the internet.
I mean, I'll be honest. The only reason I didn't listen to it all the time is that they played it on Sunday nights on whatever station my father was able to find out it was on, opposite Dr. Demento.
Right.
Which Dr. Demento won every time.
Oh, okay. So I'm just looking. I looked it up, and on Wikipedia it says an expanded radio dramatization of the original Star Wars trilogy.
That's what it was.
Was produced in 81, 83, and 1996.
Yeah.
The first two radio series based on Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back were produced and broadcast by NPR as part of NPR Playhouse. A dramatization of Return of the Jedi was produced by most of the same team and also broadcast on NPR. The radio serials were made with the full cooperation of George Lucas, who in exchange for $1 each sold the rights to KUSC-FM, the public radio affiliate at his alma mater, the University of Southern California. Lucas also permitted the use of original sound effects and music from the film.
Yeah, I remember that that art of 3PO by the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's worth looking for by insidious means, I think.
Yes. That's definitely some cool stuff. I definitely remember the Empire one. Yeah. So, All right. Well, where are we going now? So thank you, Nathan Cotton Coy Vance Duke, and I appreciate you, you know, catching up and giving us well wishes and in Dynamo's case, you know, some nice little tribute to Frankenstein. So we appreciate it, buddy.
I miss him every day.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so let's hear some more Tekken Talk.
On this week's episode of Tekken Talk, what's up, boys? Jesse G calling in again, talking more Tekken, because that's pretty much the only thing I have any right talking about. Not only Tekken, but more specifically Tekken 7. And the one gripe I have with it so far is that Lei Wulong, a.k.a. Jackie Chan, is not in this title yet. And I say yet because Namco Bandai Namco, however you want to say it, they're dropping DLC characters. There's supposed to be one every quarter this year. But I got a feeling it's going to be all Street Fighter characters because Akuma's already in it, and I feel like why would they bring back an OG? I want them to bring back an OG character, but yeah, I just don't see them doing that. But anyways, I got a question, and this is a question that I asked the Cult of Muscle question thread a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to ask you guys, and that is, what is your favorite rendition of Yoshimitsu? Yoshimitsu has changed looks every single title, and that's there's been 7 Tekken titles, not including the 2 Tekken Tag titles. And he's also showed up in a couple of Soul Calibur games. But anyways, he's just one of those characters that is capable of doing that. But anyways, mine would have to be Yoshimitsu's Tekken 3 outfit, and that is, you can't go wrong with it. It's the most iconic. It's Predator with a lightsaber. I mean, what the fuck? You can't ask for anything else. Anyways, guys, that's my question. That is this week's episode of Tekken Talk. I hope you have a great show. And, yeah, fucking kill it, like always. Toodles.
Tekken Talk! So, good question, Jesse G. And glad you're repping for the Tekken. I haven't played the new one. Is the new one out, Mars? Do you know?
I have Mortal Kombat. That's it.
I don't know. I don't even know. I think it is out, but I'm not even positive. But that's a tough one. I haven't played all the Tekkens, and Tekken 2 and 3 were the ones that I probably played the most.
Yeah, same here.
If I get Tekken, what system does he have? Will he play with me on the internet?
Maybe.
Get back to me, Jesse G.
you know, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to look this one up, because I think it might be Tekken 2.
Yeah, what was in the arcade? I think it was Tekken 2, right?
That's a really hard question.
I'm not really familiar with the character. If he was in Tekken 2 and 3, I didn't play him.
Tekken Tag Tournament 2, Tekken 6, he's different in every single fucking one. Tekken 4, Tekken 3. Alright, so here's... what's Tekken 2, Yoshimitsu?
Okay, maybe.
Man. Maybe it was a tag tournament? I think mine is also Tekken 3. That's the one I was thinking.
I go 2.
You go 2? All right, Ravenshaw will go Tekken 2. Mars, you have one? Yep. He looks pretty badass in Street Fighter versus Tekken, even though I didn't play that one, but he looks pretty badass.
I don't want to say the same one.
Well, I mean, if that's your favorite, it's your favorite. And it was the same guy who did the voice. Is that? Yeah, did the voice the first. He did the voice of the first 5, and then he was replaced. Yeah, I'm going to go with 3. Do you have one, Mars?
No, I
you can go with 3.
I don't...
There's one image I keep seeing that I don't know what game it's from.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, if you find it, then let us know. Otherwise, we'll move on. And lastly, we have one more voicemail. It is just entitled Jason Momoa Samoa Dynamoa.
Hi, this is Jason Momoa. I too listen to Trick or Treat Radio. And I'd like to join Michael Raven Shadow for that beer and maybe even join his Justice League. Now, as far as that shiny-headed Dr. Pepper swilling garden gnome sitting in the corner who can't recognize my masculinity and physique, I'm going to shove my trident so far up his Atlantean porthole, his seas will be turbulent for 100 years. So, don't fuck with the Samoa Dynamoa, motherfucker.
What do you think of that, Mars? He told you. Mars is speechless. That's amazing.
My head's not shiny. My head's wicked shiny, actually. I saw it on the internet.
You look good.
All right, I think that's it for voicemail. Let me just double check here. Yep, we got that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. We got this one, we got that one. I think we're done with voicemail.
Wow.
I don't think we have any email. And the only tweet that, well, we got a few tweets, but the only one I wanted to mention, we already mentioned, was from the director of Patchwork. And Freddie Carlini also mentioned us. Freddie was our guest last week for Mixtape Massacre. He had been tweeting out about us and mentioning the appearance. And as I mentioned, Tyler McIntyre, the director of Patchwork, had reached out to us. So
nice.
Cool. I think that's it.
Yeah, man.
So next week we're going to do the Bad Batch. And hopefully MZ will be back. Marsman, you looking forward to this weekend?
I thought you were going to ask me. I was looking forward to MZ being back.
No.
No.
You looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, I'm nervous, but I am looking forward.
Should be fun.
Should be.
All right, Michael Raven Shadow.
Ooh.
Why you take us the fuck out of here?
I live fast, love hard, die with your mask on.
All right, Marsman.
River Dirt, douchebags.
That's not it.
Oh, remember, children, wherever you go, there you are.
There you go.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 257 of Trick or Treat Radio. Everyone who joined the live chat, you guys are fucking awesome. Thank you. Everyone who sent us a voicemail, we love you dudes, and we appreciate the contributions. And also for everyone who tuned in live, whether it's on YouTube or elsewhere, and for everyone that's going to listen to the podcast on Friday. We appreciate you guys, and hopefully we have some good stories next week after Dynamo and Iron Long Beach. It's going to be a good time. So, all right, everyone, we will see you next week.
Release the owl cat. Archimedes! Ah!